If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Just keep your right hand on it till you get it up over your shoulder. And it'll be a lot easier for you to control it.
Would you like to touch my penis?
I want it to be handed to me. Then I can touch it whenever I want to.
I don't know about you, but I've been thinking about meat all day long.
I like meat.
Ladies and gentlemen,
meatloaf!
What do you think might be in here? It has a long handle, and most people would never expect to see such a big one. It surely is a big one.
It's big, grows up to 10 feet long, can weigh more than 1,000 pounds.
You've got a terrific tool at your disposal.
I want it to be handed to me. Then I can touch it whenever I want to.
I'm not really unfamiliar with the pole.
And now, ouch, that's a lot of beef.
Our feature presentation.
What's happening, everybody? It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:31, and it's Thursday, the 19th of Poon.
Do you mind if I photograph you in the nude?
I heard it was 107 in Woodland Hills yesterday.
Yep.
Yep.
And I was using the formula that that Kevin gives out for where he lives in Tarzana, and that makes it about 220 at your house.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the formula is? Is double it plus 13. Isn't that what the formula is we came up with?
Really, those numbers are just jokes to us.
They're suggestions, really.
You hear 107, you go, oh, dear God, that must be at the beach.
In my dreams, 107.
Way hotter. Yeah, it's one of those deals where you get in your car and it's so stifling you pass out almost. It's just not good.
No.
You know, it's funny. I didn't get into the discussion, but when I brought up how Ralph must be adjusting to the valley heat, because, you know, he just moved to the valley after many, many years on the right side of the hill, as he used to call it.
Right.
He suggested that, well, I have air conditioning, so it's no big deal. But what about the stuff like you're describing, where what your car ends up like, walking in and out of your house, going to and from stores and other things that you have to do? I mean, you still are in the heat, even if you have air conditioning at home.
It's not just that. I don't have new air conditioning. So it rarely works. And the hotter it is, of course, the worse the air conditioning works.
Right.
So you could have your air conditioning on. It could be 89 in the house. And you go, wow, this is not much better than outside. And you walk outside and you go, wow, this is hot.
113 in Palm Springs today, by the way.
Oh, yeah. My God.
When you're talking about 113, you're talking about Las Vegas, Phoenix temperatures. That's not really your Southern California special right there.
That's Woodland Hills is what that is. I don't know why God looked at Southern California and said, Woodland Hills, I will wilt you. You will die. But that's what happened.
It is. It's tough. Although, it's not really going to matter because, well, for you anyway, Kevin, today could be your last day on Earth.
Yes? Oh, no.
Let's what? Not. Hold on.
Last day on Earth?
We got bad news for you, buddy.
That's what I'm thinking.
You got a package delivered.
Uh-oh.
Mike, you want to pull it out?
Got a package delivered.
That's what
you
need
that tape.
Last day on Earth. Wow.
We don't know what this is about, but it's like big, and it's heavy.
I told you it was heavy.
Wow. And it doesn't have a return address on it, and it's to you.
Well, should we?
Is it ticking?
Should we have the King of Mexico open it? Or?
Well, no, that's what I said.
No.
In the parking
Stop.
Lot. That's what
Mike
I got.
Mike and I discussed Miss Cleo maybe is the one who needs to open it.
She walks in with it.
Miss Cleo.
Here's how it starts. She walks in this morning about 5:15. There's a package in here, and it's labeled for Kevin, but there's no return address, and I'm kind of scared of it, so I don't want to open it. I said, well, listen, sweetheart.
She's fine giving it to me, though.
Yeah. I said, that is your job as phone screener to open suspicious packages. Dave would have done it.
The time is now! The time is now!
That's what I was afraid
Omar
of.
Omar is shouting, the time is now.
Dave would have done it
Dave would have done it two or three months ago.
And if he didn't do it, he would have made an intern do it. It's not all of a sudden the responsibility of people above you. Who do you think you are?
A phone screener. Yeah. I realize that.
Miss Cleo
but I'm
now
not
has.
Die on the job today. Sorry.
She now has standards. No, it's all right for you if I die on the job today, though.
Look, here's what we tried to tell Sarah before you came in is you don't blow up people who are on the air, first of all. And then Mike said, and clearly you don't blow up men before you blow up women.
Yeah.
I mean, that just goes without saying,
Do we want Cleo to start tasting his food, too,
yes.
just in case it's poison?
Well, listen.
Start
his car.
If there's any,
for minimum wage?
There's supposed to be some advantage to hiring a Middle Eastern phone screener. And if it's anything, her dad should have taught her how women behave years ago.
Exactly.
But for some reason, she's got an attitude.
She's got the attitude like she's free or something.
I know.
You know?
God.
Kevin, any ideas? Were you expecting something? Did you hear that maybe something was being delivered?
No.
And it's really heavy.
Well, it might be in response to what we were talking about yesterday, because the top of it, although it looks like it's probably a used box, but the top of it says fragile phonograph records. Hmm. So I wonder if that was in response to us talking about
the LP. Coldplay vinyl album and stuff like that.
It is about 75.
And it's heavy.
It's 75 pounds at least. It's heavy. I mean, it's...
So you think maybe it's a record company that sent over a box of vinyl, maybe?
It's either that or a box full of C4.
Well, that's my fear.
Yeah.
But I mean, look.
Well, you'll be fine.
But who these days sends anything in the mail without a return address?
I mean, that's weird.
And the writing's all janky, too.
Yeah, like, it is. The writing's in Farsi. Right. The writing's in Farsi. Does that worry you at all?
I didn't say that's Farsi, but... Jasmine's here to open it.
Our intern.
Intern Jasmine. Intern.
Okay. See, she
knows.
We
just keep going down the pay grade until we get to the person who doesn't get paid.
But let me ask you a question. If it really is C4 and Jasmine is opening it right next to me, how does that help?
Right. It doesn't help you at all. She should be taking it out into the middle of the field and just blowing up some cats if she has to.
I don't see this working well for me. All right. She's taking the scissors.
She may actually accidentally stab you the way she's looking at it.
All right. Okay. It looks like a bunch of LPs.
Wow.
You figured that out. How about that?
Hot Heat.
Who are they from?
Metallica. They are from Warner Brothers Records.
Wow. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen.
How about that?
Another Metallica. How about that? This is
Mike.
Cool.
You're happy, aren't you? You play records all the time.
REM Live,
almost exclusively. To be honest,
I didn't know they were making these anymore at all until you guys started talking about that.
Well,
yeah,
I'm
they've been coming back bigger
today.
And bigger every year lately. It's
wow.
weird.
I'm glad we all
right. Foxborough Hot Tubs. How about that?
Good times.
That's pretty cool.
Okay. Hey, there's some 45s in here, too.
No kidding.
Boom! That's awesome. All right. Well, you don't see that every day.
They couldn't afford a new box or a right
That's
label.
What she said.
It does seem like they have recycled this box 17 times.
Well, times are tough in the record industry, you know? I got to tell you, though, I'm glad we had this exercise so that we know that Miss Cleo is not one that we can count on to look out for saving Kevin and Bean if the time calls for
it. What a pain in the ass.
If the time is now, we do not turn to her.
No.
That's what we've learned.
Nope.
All right, get out of here.
You know what? Beer mug
you're dead to me.
Beer mug eats poo, and you won't even
know. Beer stupid.
No, that's true.
There's that. No, all I love beer mug. Goodbye.
Get out.
Bye. Thanks for nothing.
You're dead to us.
Listen, attitude. She lets us die if that's what would have happened, and yet she's giving us attitude for it.
Yeah. Wow, they change quickly, don't they?
They sure do.
Change quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
women.
I'm down for anything.
Give
no,
them a
not,
little favor.
Not women. All of people who start working here at the bottom of the level, you have them eat poop, and then they go, yeah, I'm in. And then like 2 months later, they go, no, I'm above that.
Yeah.
One or two weenie roast tickets, and next thing you know, attitude.
I'd rather not do that, if you don't mind. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. Thursday the 19th. I already said that.
Yes, you did.
Let's talk about places you've been thrown out of.
Kevin.
I've been thrown out of a lot of places. Psycho Mike's been thrown out. Our other intern, Teen Wolf, has been thrown out of pretty much every place in the Grove.
I don't even understand how that happens.
I think there's a lot going on with Teen Wolf that we've not explored yet. He definitely seems to have problems playing well with others.
He's all kinds of effed up.
Yeah, I think so.
That's how we hire. You know that.
Yep.
We go for effed up. Also on the program today, we are going to talk about Leona Helmsley's dog. I don't know if you're familiar with that story. Leona Helmsley was a slumlord in New York.
Yeah.
Owned a bunch of buildings. Everyone hated her. She was a dick to everybody in life. Died. Left her dog $12 million.
Yep.
$12 million. And some of her grandkids and other relatives were left out.
Yeah.
Because that's who Leona Helmsley was. Also on the show today, we're going to talk about heavy metal in Baghdad. It's a documentary movie, which is fascinating, about the only heavy metal band that is in Iraq. And they are trying desperately to become big and play shows and
they're
stuff.
They're Iraqis?
What's that?
I mean, they're Iraqis?
They're Iraqi, yeah.
Yes, they're Iraqis, yeah.
Okay.
I thought you said they're Rockies. I was like, is that a form of rock?
Iraqis?
No, yes, they are Iraqis.
They are people from Iraq?
That's correct, yes.
It's interesting. I mean, it's about a heavy metal band in Iraq. I saw the movie yesterday too, Kevin. But what's interesting is seeing average everyday people and what their lives are like living in that part of the world.
Yeah.
That's what's fascinating about it to me is that's a tough way to live over there.
Yeah. They live right at the corner of getting shot, and then the intersecting road is getting shot. So they literally just plan on dying every day.
Wow.
Yeah. Today's
every day they don't die is a surprise to them, because everywhere they go, there's machine gun fire, there's bombs blowing up. I mean, it's pretty sad. It's pretty
fascinating.
Tragic.
And look at us with the box of records.
I know.
Pathetic.
At one point, they were banging their heads. You know, they were swinging their heads like that, and they go, "We could get put in jail for life for this."
Are you serious?
Because they don't understand it, so they think it's Satan worship, and
that's right.
It's absurd.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
it's also interesting to me how so many kids over there somehow are able to hear Metallica and Slayer and records like that, because clearly they're banned. Clearly they're not played on the radio. But
right.
there's a bootleg industry, I guess, that keeps them hooked up, but. It's pretty wild. It'll make you appreciate living in the United States, even if it is 220 degrees.
X Games go on sale today, so we're going to talk to the host of that, Sal Masekela. It's coming back to Southern California the first weekend in August.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very excited about that. That usually is about 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. We got to talk about Omar, who has an amazing vacation planned.
DJ Omar Khan.
In the next couple of weeks, he is going to go to 700 different countries.
Wow.
And I don't know how he's going to stop at any of them. It sounds like he might be over-planning. So we're going to have to talk to him about
that. Daddy, why does Omar have a towel on his head?
That too. We'll talk about that too.
He is spending less than a day in many countries, which is doesn't like the best way to see him. Well, you could see Italy in 4 hours. Come on.
There's Paris. Keep going. If you missed Ask a Midget yesterday with Wee Man, we have some highlights for you.
Oh, good.
Wee Man's the best.
He really is.
And all week long, we're giving away your tickets to see Jack Johnson, plus every day at 8, noon, 4, and 8. You can listen to Score the Tickets. You get a custom autograph. What?
Go ahead. No, you're right. Keep going.
Jack Johnson surfboard and VIP invites to a barbecue with Jack.
I was just thinking how much I enjoyed the Wee Man's company, and you know how I've often said I want a midget that I can have live in the barn down with my livestock, but I like Wee Man so much that I think I would build him a doghouse. I think he could actually live in the yard. I don't even think he'd have to go down to the barn. What? I'm telling you that's a step up.
Report.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Right there in the yard, just a few steps from the main house.
Dude, anywhere within a quarter mile of you is a step down.
Yeah.
Ralph Garman joins us in the studio now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. How are you, Ralph?
Oh, couldn't be better, Bean. Thanks so much for axing.
Wow.
Well, moist in here. Other than that, I'm doing good.
Yeah, what's going on in here?
I don't know. It's a little humid.
It's
maybe we're straining the air conditioning here in the K-Rock building as well.
It's a little humid.
Probably.
That's all I know.
Hey, Ralph, every week I ask you if there's any update. I assume I would have heard, but still waiting for the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce to announce their stars on the Walk of Fame?
Keeping that to myself. If I get that news, I'm just going to...
Not going
to
tell anyone.
Might tell my mom and dad, and then that's it.
All right.
I'm going to seal it in an envelope and mail it to myself.
Can we check with your mom and dad?
No one can know.
All right.
No one.
So no update.
No.
We get emails from time to time from listeners who say, hey, what's going on with the Adam West star?
Yeah.
I just want you to know it's not on us at this point. We're just waiting for word. So we will let you know.
The committee takes about a month to decide. So
A month.
Usually at the end of June, they release that information. So
we're just saying the man's 80 this year. That's all we're saying.
What do you want him to do, Bean?
What do you want him to do? Ralph's filling out all the paperwork. He's got everything.
Got everything together.
I'm not complaining
together
to
package,
Ralph.
Mailed it in. Did all the proper things. Took all the proper channels. Now what do you want from me?
I don't want anything from you. I'm just saying if someone's listening involved in the decision-making process, the man will be 80 this year. I'm just reminding them that this isn't Haley Joel Osment we're talking about, where you've got some time, okay?
I will give you... $100,000 for every member of the Walk of Fame committee that listens to our show.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do for you.
That's pretty safe.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Not losing any money in that deal. People Magazine's list of the single and sexy men of 2008.
Oh.
Hollywood's most eligible bachelors.
Mike's very excited about this list.
It stands this Friday. I've got the list. I've got the advanced list.
What nutty person did they throw in there? So we'll talk about it.
These are the top 10 most desirable men in Hollywood. Mm. Desirable.
Okay.
Ooh.
Some names come to mind, certainly.
Hunter Johansson. Is that one of the names that came to mind?
Never heard of
him.
No.
Who's
that? I don't know who that is.
Scarlett's twin brother.
Does he have a right?
What?
Scarlett Johansson has a brother.
Not only just a brother, a twin brother.
Twin brother. So he has got a giant rack, too?
Yes. Oh. Big cans and... big pouty full DSL.
What does he do,
Lisa? Hunt.
Lives off his sister.
Hunter.
His name.
Yes. I have no idea what he does. Saturday Night Live's Andy Samberg and Akiva Schaffer.
No.
I know.
Andy Samberg's got like a giant nose and he's got long, goofy hair and he looks like...
The girls dig him the most.
Why?
Really?
They just do.
This is not good looking. It's just eligible. It's just
single and sexy.
Desirable.
Single and sexy.
Single and sexy. Wow.
Brett Michaels from Poison, number eight on the list.
Come on.
This is the greatest list ever.
Come on.
Number seven, tennis pro James Blake.
Okay.
I don't know what
The ladies do like him.
Number six, actor Gerard Butler from 300.
Sure.
Number five, Britney's older brother, Brian Spears.
Oh, come on.
This is stupid.
Yes. Brian Spears, come on. Maybe Brian Spears and Hunter Johansson should go out on the road.
Who the hell is Britney's older brother? I've never heard of him before. They're making this up.
That's why I'm doing this list.
We've heard of Britney and we've heard of Jamie Lynn. Who's Brian?
Actor Terrence Howard is number four on the list.
He's pretty hot.
Okay.
He's Rhodey in Iron Man, right?
Yeah.
Yes. American Idol winner David Cook, number three on the list.
Come on.
Wait, I thought he wasn't single, by the way.
No, he's very single. He's very single. Chicks do dig him.
Kimberly Caldwell?
Oh, that's true.
Well, if you're not married, though.
But they're probably not really...
They've been out on two dates, for God's sake.
He's just putting it to her.
Does he make this list?
Number two, Brody Jenner.
No.
In a tie with Frankie Delgado.
Who's Frankie Delgado?
How do we not know any of these people?
I think he's
on the hills, too. I think Frankie Delgado's on the hills.
Oh, damn it.
It's Brody's manager, the King of Mexico, is telling
me. What's the category again? What
are they calling this? Sexy Men of 2008, Hottest Bachelors, Most Desirable Men in Hollywood.
No.
Well, where the hell are the Clooneys and the McConaughey's and the people like that people have heard of that people want to date?
George Clooney is no Hunter Johansson, my friend.
That's true. That is true.
God. Number one.
The Armenian comedian.
Might as well be.
What?
No way.
Mario Lopez.
No way.
Come on.
The most bizarre list ever.
He's desirable if you desire to be cheated on. Maybe you want to go out with Mario Lopez.
I want whatever People magazine seems to be smoking.
Can they relabel that people we saw at the Ivy today when we decided to do this list?
I think they should relabel it people whose photographs we found in a drawer.
What the hell? It's the worst list ever, top to bottom.
So funny. I just had to share it with you.
Wow.
Matthew McConaughey, who's not on the list.
He's not really single either.
No, he's having a baby with his girlfriend, Camilla Alves.
Apparently, well, he's no Frankie Delgado, don't get me wrong.
He's not letting fatherhood stand in the way of a good time. New York Post reports that he was recently partying in Nicaragua. And he got so loaded he had to be carried out of the bar.
Wow. Did Brian Spears carry him out?
I believe he did. Sources say he was back the next night at the very same watering hole called the Iguana. And got very upset after getting drunk and losing one of his flip-flops.
That can anger you.
Oh. Those are his nice shoes, though.
Those are the best shoes he has. Rumor has it he's trying to put the moves on a girl who was there, too. People were witnessing
it. See? He is single.
Oh, no.
But Camilla didn't. He wasn't around, so...
They get touchy when they're pregnant.
I know. You don't want to be around him, that's for sure.
Well, he's out of the country, right?
I'm not.
Doesn't even count. Oh.
Speaking of bitches, Denise Richards.
This mouthy whore.
She just won't shut up about her ex-husband, Charlie Sheen. She tells TV Guide this week that it's Charlie's fault. Charlie continues to fuel the fire even when she keeps her mouth shut, she said, so she's not going to sit back anymore.
Wow.
Great.
She needs to actually give that theory a chance.
She's really been sitting back lately.
Yeah, shut your mouth for a little longer and see what happens first.
Hasn't Charlie not only moved on, but remarried?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like she's the one who's keeping this feud going.
He doesn't say anything.
Charlie's very happy with his new wife, Brooke Mueller, and is moving on with his life. And wants her just to leave him alone. But she can't give it up.
Bitch.
John Dumal is a big-time producer. He runs Endemol Productions. The people who brought us Big Brother and Fear Factor and lots of other big reality TV shows.
Okay.
He has launched a new website called TalpaCreative.com. Talpa Media Group is the name of his one of his companies. And TalpaCreative.com is a site where reality show fans can send in their ideas for reality shows. How many times have you heard somebody say, I've got a great idea for a reality show?
Sure.
And you got no place to put it? This website accepts submissions
from reality show fans with their ideas for shows. And if they like it, they'll help you develop it and put it on the television.
How about that?
And take most of the money, but you probably wouldn't have had any other way to get it made, so why not, right?
John, and they're out of ideas.
John says there are 300 million people in the United States. A few hundred of them must be able to come forward with a good idea.
Maybe.
If everyone participated, maybe. But, yeah. So we'll see where that leads. And late NBC newsman Tim Russert was apparently a huge Bruce Springsteen fan.
Yeah.
That guy. What would he need him for?
Everybody loves Tim Russert. The boss knew this, apparently. And even though Bruce is currently on tour, he taped a special solo acoustic performance of Tim's favorite song, Thunder Road, to be played at his private memorial service at the Kennedy Center this week. So
that's nice.
That's kind of nice.
I heard at his concert, too, he had said something about him. Dedicated a song to him.
I remember back when Tim Russert and I were driving across country in an old Volvo.
Screw him.
Oh, I'm going to come at
that. That seems harsh.
You know the sexiest vegetarian?
Come on.
Brian Spears.
You can't bring us another list like that.
Mariah Carey's brother.
That's just
come on.
Pam Anderson's nephew?
Pam Anderson?
Come on.
PETA has just released their honors for sexiest vegetarians of 2008.
Yeah.
Congratulations to
Pam Anderson?
Leona Lewis.
Come on.
All right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Singer from Britain, right?
So hot.
Ralph can't do it anymore.
We lost Ralph.
And Anthony Kiedis.
Anthony Kiedis.
Are you serious?
Oh. He's the sexiest male vegetarian this year, according to PETA.
Are all men eating meat? Is that what that means?
No. He beat out Casey Affleck and Milo Ventimiglia.
How do you beat someone out? Like, what's the competition like?
I don't know. You have to F in a carrot or something.
PETA has a NCAA Final Four bracketing of sexiest men and
do
women.
People vote or something?
No, seriously.
Wow.
Leona Lewis beat out Kristen Bell and Hayden Panettiere.
Wow, that's a good top three.
Really? Leona Lewis is so hot, it's almost unbelievable.
Who is she?
She's a singer from England.
Singer, yeah.
That Simon Cowell discovered on the X Factor TV show.
It's kind of their version of American Idol.
Bleeding Love song. Yes.
But I don't think she's hotter than either of those girls.
I think Leona Lewis is way sexy.
Yeah,
I think
got
she
like
is,
that
too.
Voluptuous, smoky kind of sexuality.
I'm saying she's not, but I'm saying Hayden Panettiere. And
they're sunny and cute and sexy and pretty, but she's blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Dirty.
Sam Anderson?
Pam Anderson's not on the list. No. Anthony Kiedis. I'd like to hear his acceptance speech. Anthony, what did you say when you won the Sexiest Vegetarian?
Moon Fry Solstice Green Tea. Waka-dang-dong-da-dang-da-dang, California. Ding-dang-dong.
Sounds about right.
Perfect.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kathleen Turner.
Oh, God.
Remember her from Body Heat when she was one of the sexiest women in the world?
She was amazing.
40 years ago?
Yeah. She is now 54 years old. And is also Ernest Borgnine.
That's true.
I did a movie with Nick Cage once. He stole a dog. Felicia Rashad, who was Mrs. Huxtable on The Cosby Show. She is 60 years old today. Paula Abdul celebrates her 46th birthday today. You know, you can say what you want about Paula. She looks pretty damn good for 46.
Yeah.
She's crazy. She's
way crazy.
She's on something, but she looks pretty good for 46. Poppy Montgomery from the TV series Without a Trace, which is really
good.
She is 33 years old today. Paul Dano, who played the older brother in Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
The one who stopped talking.
Also played religious nut in There Will Be Blood.
Oh,
that's right.
Paul Dano his milkshake drank.
He did. He had a milkshake 1 second, and the next second, not there.
I drink your milkshake. he's 24 years old today. And Mark DeBarge of DeBarge, not as good as L, but still an excellent DeBarge in his own right.
You don't have to feel the need to bring up any DeBarge.
Mark DeBarge celebrates his 49th birthday today. Different thing. DeBarge had nothing to do with it.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are good.
at this.
Did that one end? Did that song end too?
Yeah, it ended a while ago, and we were talking about something, and Omar is standing on the other side of the studio, and he's like, "Song's done. Song's done." Omar's going on vacation.
I am.
DJ Omar Khan.
And I got to tell you, it is the I may never get to Europe, so I'm going to kill myself on this trip.
Got to try to see it all.
Oh, how long have you been planning on taking the little woman overseas? It's been a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually her idea. She's a teacher. Mm-hmm. So this is actually one of these educational tours where she signs up like five students and she gets her paid. Hers paid.
Oh, right? Nice. So,
and you have access to the students?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, dude? Yeah, she's 18, so now, she's legal.
Seeing Europe in 10 days is like trying to see the United States in 10 days. It's very, very difficult.
Well, so yeah, I'm going to be over there 15 days.
15 days.
15 days, yeah. Okay. What some people will do is they'll pick, in that case, maybe three or four countries and spend a few days in each and really feel like they get a chance to see something. Not Omar. Nope. Omar has come up with a plan that puts him in each country in Europe for 45 minutes.
Yeah, this is a vacation plan called European Carousel.
Yeah, what a gay name, right?
The Netherlands, Germany, Austria, Italy, Switzerland, France, England. Sounds like a great trip if it was 2 months.
Yeah.
But this seems like you might be moving a little fast.
I figure it's the first time, we're going to go see Europe. And, with this educational tour, we get first in line at all the museums. All the museums are paid for. We get two meals a day included in the package. And, we want to go experience each city for, and I got ADD. I get really bored fast, so I figured this is perfect for me. And, in a couple of years when we go back, we kind of hopefully we'll get a feel of, what this each city is like. And we'll go back to, the place that we enjoy the most.
Sounds like a good plan.
Right. Yeah, I understand the theory. I think you're going to need a vacation when you get back from this vacation. But we wanted to find out more about this tour because we had not heard of any trip like this, Omar. You don't even know about this, but we lined up your travel agent. We've got remember Mr. Gerard, your friend Alan is on the phone with us right now from Caffeinated Tour. Good morning, Alan. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, what's going on? How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Is this a bad time?
No. It's great. It's fine. Let's go.
Are you leading a tour right now?
Yeah, we're getting some tours out of here. It's amazing. What people are saying today is incredible. What do you got? What's the question? Ask me something. Come on. Let's go.
We have the
Come on. Let's go.
We have the European Carousel that our friend.
My favorite tour. The best tour. Everyone loves that tour. It's the number one tour we sell.
Can you give us some details on that?
Absolutely. First, we start in the Netherlands. We go there in Netherlands. You take an overnight flight. You end up in Amsterdam. Then from Amsterdam, you go on to Florence, Italy. We go to Florence, Italy. We take a look at Medici Village for the half the afternoon. Then the other afternoon, we take a moped to St. Petersburg, Russia. We get to Russia. We go through the Novitski Project. From there, we take a ferry to Santorini, Greece. There, we're in Greece. We go around the island on a moped, get a donkey, and go to Edinburgh, Scotland. When we get to Scotland. We go there. We go to the Irish Whiskey Center. We go through Calton Hill. And then we go and take a plane to Peru. We go to Peru because we have to refuel.
We got to Peru.
Go to Peru. Get some more blow. Then we get back on the plane and we go to Rome, Italy. Got to see Rome. Got to see Venice. Got to see Tuscany. Got to see Florence. Got to see all of Italy in 45 minutes. We go back to London. We go to the United Kingdom. We spend 18 minutes in London. We get on a plane. We go to Prague. Prague is in the Czech Republic. It's freaking awesome.
Right.
You go through the Old Town Square. You go to Tin Church. You see the Bohemian Brew. You see the Vlada River, the Charles Bridge. You see Prague Castle. Now that's in 10 minutes.
Wow.
Then you get back in a plane. You go to Barcelona, Spain. You got to see Barcelona, Spain. It's one of the best cities in the world. We're going to fly right past now because they look, there's Barcelona, Spain. We're on our way to Venice. It's incredible Venice, Italy. You can't believe it. You see the canals. You see the people walking down the canals. You see people on boats in the canals. The canals are freaking awesome. Then we take one of the boats from the canals and we sail to Paris, France. That's right. We're going to goddamn Paris. We're going to see everything that we're going to see in the Eiffel Tower. We're going to see the Arc de Triomphe. We're going to see it. And then we're going to go buy a bus. I'm going to say, look at it. And then we're going to Dresden, Germany. We're going to go to Dresden. Dresden's incredible because that's where World War II was fought. And then we wanted God bless America.
Okay, thanks, sir. I think that answered all my questions.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah.
Did he say we're going to stop in Peru to get blow?
Yeah, Peru, we got to get blow.
That's all I care about.
We got to refuel. We got to keep going.
Thank you, sir.
Did you see that Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson are back together again?
Yes.
Well, I saw that was the case a few days ago. Are they still back together?
They were married, of course, in 1995. They split up in 1998.
Then she went on to marry Kid Rock, and she married that dude Rick Solomon, and got divorced from both of them. And now it seems like she's moved back into his house with their two kids.
Are they actually living together?
They're a happy family again.
No kidding.
Even with all those other marriages that Pam has gone off to do, and even with every woman in the world that Tommy has banged since they divorced, it seems like every 2 or 3 months there's a picture of them, you know, usually at their kids' soccer game or something like that, and they're making out. I mean, they always seem like they've stayed very, very friendly, but now I guess they're trying the relationship again.
We have actually Tommy Lee on the phone.
Okay.
Oh, so we can find out some more information about it.
The barbecue sauce. Yeah. Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Tommy?
Ripping and shredding. Yeah.
Tommy, first of all, I guess congratulations. We should find out if you and Pam are still together since this story came out in Rolling Stone a few days ago.
Totally. You know, I just wanted to get back with my Pam because she's the one in my heart. I got her tattooed on my heart. And mostly, like, we did it for the kids, you know, because I love them, and she's rad and ripped.
Now the two boys are living with you again, right?
Yeah. Those little tykes, they rip and they shred. All right, bananas.
I forget their names. What are their names?
Aerosmith and Heineken.
I don't think that's right. I think it's Brandon and Dylan. Didn't you name them after 90210 characters?
Sure.
you don't remember, do you?
Bender and Ludwig.
No, I don't.
Tommy, is there anyone that doesn't rip and shred?
No, there's people that don't rip. There's people that don't shred. But remember, it's like life is like a snare drum. Whack it. Slash, give me that marinade. All right, yeah.
Slash is there?
Yeah, we're having a little backyard barbecue. I'm cooking up some filet mignon. Got some venison on the grill. Yeah,
Tommy,
partied all night. So
I thought this right, but Tommy, the story in Rolling Stone says that one of the things that you did to show how serious you were this time is that you've given up eating meat because your wife, of course, is a famous vegetarian. Now I understand you don't eat the meat.
What?
According to the story, you gave up meat for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No meat, ribs.
Right, but you're cooking filet mignon and ribs right now, though.
Yeah. Last night I went to the bathroom.
Right? What does that mean?
What?
Ribs. I'm telling you, man, because when, you know, life looks at you funny, take the fast lane. Go for it.
But I think what I'm saying is that you don't eat meat anymore, so I don't know what you got going on in the grill, but Pam is going to be very upset and maybe move out again.
But then I'll just drive a boat with my wiener.
I guess you always have that.
and some cocktails. All right, Rip, you guys take care of bananas, all right?
All right, take care, eat fruit.
Go for it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Whoa, why are you talking so quickly after the end of the song? What's your hurry? What's your hurry, Speedo? He's up turbo.
I think that's how we're supposed to do
it. Come on.
Life's for lately, living. You've been letting them mellow a little bit.
Kick the end of
the song, you've been letting the listeners kind of ease into it.
I don't like to ruin the ends of songs. I like people to be able to fully comprehend them and enjoy them.
Yes. You're a good guy.
The X Games are coming back to Southern California. Whoa. Tickets are going on sale today, and Sal Masekela, who of course is the host of the TV broadcast of the X Games, is going to be joining us just after the news at 7 o'clock. Also the director of this film called Heavy Metal in Baghdad, which is a fascinating look at a heavy metal band in Iraq, which is you think it's tough to make it as a heavy metal band in the United States. Try making it in Iraq. It's a little tougher. Anyway, all that coming up next hour on the Kevin Bean Show, 6:52. Ralph Sir with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday. What's going on?
I just want to thank Bean, who is the career killer, who is the
what?
Mush,
what?
Who is the bad luck,
what happened?
Who is Dr. Doom,
what are you talking
who
about?
Is the bringer of death.
What did I do?
We know that, but for what in this particular instance?
You know how hard I've been working to get Adam West a star in the Walk of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bean brings it up today.
Right.
Hey, what's the news of the Hollywood Walk of Fame? What's up with that?
Hadn't heard anything in a couple
minute
weeks.
The he brings it up. Bad luck, Schleprock.
Oh, no.
The list is released today.
Well, today it's already been released?
Yeah.
He asked
all I did
a half
was
hour
ask.
Ago.
Yeah, exactly. He just put the whammy on it, and then the list came out today.
And Adam West is...
Adam West is, unfortunately, not on the list for
this
year's...
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
This year's choices for to be honored next year on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Well, that's absurd.
How many do they choose?
They choose 25.
25?
Out of 25, they couldn't find a slot for Adam West TV's Batman.
Oh, come on.
It's the third time, by the way, he's been put up for nomination. They passed over him.
He's been on Family Guy. He's kind of recreated himself a lot of times.
Been around for 50 years. Has a 50-year career, Kevin. They can't find it in their hearts to honor the dude.
I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
Yes, it is. But at least when you look at the list, you see that the village people are getting their just desserts. It takes the sting out of it when you know that the village people, at least, will be getting honored because of their amazing longevity and their work and their career. Because they had this song.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
They did sing that song.
They got that.
So the cowboy and the Indian and the construction worker, they get a star of the Hollywood Walk of Fame, not so much for TV's Batman Adam West.
Not the bat.
Wow.
That seems like they made some poor choices. Who else is on the list?
All right, here's the breakdown. For radio, Bill Handel and Harry Shearer. Harry Shearer, you can see. Big
He's
radio
awesome.
Star.
Yeah.
Simpsons, Spinal Tap's been around forever. You can see that.
Here's what I've always said about the stars on the Walk of Fame. If people come from out of state, it's really a tourist thing. They need to know who you are. That's
you see
why
Bill Handel and you're from Iowa.
Right.
What are you going to do?
I mean, you know how much we...
Look, honey, it's the guy who invented the handle.
You know how much we're not fans of Rick Dees at all. Never have been.
Right. No.
Had a top 40 show that went around the world on thousands of stations.
For many years.
I can understand him getting a star.
Seacrest, too. You can understand Seacrest getting a star. Because of American Idol. Well,
American Idol, but they gave one for radio, which doesn't make sense.
But still, the name has huge recognition.
But Bill Handel. Well, what's the point?
Recording, Kenny Babyface Edmonds.
Okay.
Dave Koz. The Miracles, without Smokey Robinson, just The Miracles.
All right.
Rush, Shakira,
well,
The Village People, as I mentioned.
Sure.
And thank God, Doug Morris finally got his star.
Who's Doug Morris?
I have no freaking idea.
Bean will know. Who's Doug Morris?
I think he's a record executive, I think.
Are you kidding?
Excellent.
I think he is.
For television, Mark Burnett, our pal Mark, got one.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
That
he deserves it.
The husband and wife team of Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy are both getting a star this year. Her for television, him for film.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Chuck Lorre.
Don't know who that is.
I believe is a
TV producer.
TV producer. Yeah, he does tons of stuff.
William Peterson from CSI.
CSI. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Kira Sedgwick, as I mentioned. And John Stamos. John Stamos getting his star.
John Stamos.
See, Stamos is going to be around a while. Go ahead and give him a star down the road. Maybe Mr. West is a more pressing concern due to his age.
Motion pictures, as I mentioned, William H. Macy, Sir Ben Kingsley,
sure,
Hugh Jackman,
sure,
Ralph Fiennes,
sure,
Charles Durning.
Who's that?
Legendary character actor Charles Durning.
You recognize him.
Yeah, you know, big, fat guy. Yeah.
Been around forever.
Been around forever.
I fell asleep at one of his plays.
Yeah, you did, actually.
You go. I think so.
No, you're thinking of Brian Dennehy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Different fat guy.
Ralph, this isn't a bad list. I can't quibble with most of the names on this list.
No,
I think
Robert Downey Jr.
Not that old and could wait a year or two.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz.
You can't squeeze in Adam West anywhere.
Leslie Caron.
Who's that?
A French actress from the 50s and 60s.
Okay.
Yeah, indeed. Tim Burton. Legendary director Tim Burton.
Of course.
But finally, and now you know why they had no room for Adam West, because Tinkerbell is getting her star next year.
Tinkerbell,
the fictional fairy.
Tinkerbell
is
not
giving
real.
Her a star. Tinkerbell's getting a star. Tinkerbell is getting a star.
We got the fictional fairy a star a couple of years ago, Ralph.
No, that's Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, I was thinking of Rodney. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Wow. Tinkerbell. That's what you're saying.
That could have waited.
Tinkerbell and the Village People. And they say we got two slots left in the 25. Adam West, wait a minute. We got to vote for Tinkerbell and the Village People. Well, put that vote on.
Oh. You.
So swing and a miss for Adam West and those of us who did our best to try to get him on the star of the Walk of Fame.
Try again next year.
Trust me, I'm not going away easy.
Maybe we should have put in
getting rid of me that easy.
Maybe we should have put in our qualification for the mayor of Quahog. Maybe we should just do that instead of naming Adam. We could do something that's fictional.
Just for the mayor? And the key to the city?
Fictional, I'm saying. They're giving stuff out to Tinkerbell,
true,
for God's sake.
That's right.
Tinkerbell.
Yeah, Tinkerbell.
Not real.
Who's showing up to accept that award, by the way?
Mickey?
No.
No?
No.
Don't know.
Fictional. I want a real person there. I want somebody there by the star. When they take the photograph, who's going to be there to celebrate?
Rodney.
No one. Fictional.
Didn't Julia Roberts do the voice of Tinkerbell in the...
She played Tinkerbell in Hook.
In Hook, right? Yeah.
It's not for Julia Roberts. It's for Tinkerbell.
That's right. Fictional. Well, that's disappointing. I'm sorry to hear that.
Wow. Well, okay.
Not a good day for me. A little upset.
We do not wield the power that we think we do.
It may have worked against Adam having us on his side. That's what I keep
feeling.
Maybe
we should call
now
and apologize.
Maybe someone else should have championed his cause because we got the stink of death on us, apparently.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, we've had some success with the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, I know. With Rodney Bingenheimer.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. Swell dude. Glad to see him, you know, get a little attention. But come on.
Anyway, today is History Month.
He's got a star. Today
is History Month.
50 years of a career, Batman, Family Guy, Adam West, no star.
Johnny got accepted for a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Johnny Grant called and had been accepted. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank all the K-Rock listeners who participated and the people that helped out with that. And even the morning show on the Kevin and Bean show. They helped out with that as well. I want to say thank you, and I'm going to make it up to you. And when I do my anniversary show, I'm going to play my first interview ever on the Rodney and the Rock show, and that's with the Ramones.
No, you aren't.
Don't threaten us.
So, no Adam West.
More showbiz news. Simon Cowell has bought a little gift for his superstar client, Leona Lewis. Leona, of course. We were talking about her earlier. Simon Cowell discovered her.
What?
Yeah,
Bell.
Big Bell. Discovered her on his show X Factor over there in the UK, which is an American Idol type show. And she's a monster hit, Bleeding Love. Her smash hit has been on the charts for 5 weeks. And he wanted to give her a little thank you gift because she's making him a lot of money and he adores her. So he bought her a little something. A $5 million Beverly Hills mansion.
What?
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep. He wanted to treat her.
Creepy.
He wanted to treat her. He knows how hard she's worked and what a massive success she's become. And it's a far cry from her current situation, which is a two-bedroom apartment in Hackney, a borough of London, England.
But he didn't buy her a house.
No, he didn't buy her a house. He bought her a $5 million mansion in Beverly Hills.
He lent her the money for the down payment.
He bought her, listen to me.
He's letting her use his house.
Bought her a $5 million mansion in Beverly Hills. That's what he did.
Bagging her then, right? I mean, come on.
That's clearly payment.
Come on, yeah. That's happening.
That'd be sweet.
What kind of F you money does Simon Cowell have if he's buying people homes? It's like Elvis.
Seriously.
Hey, come on over. I want to show you something that I'm going to give you.
Here are your keys. Enjoy your mansion.
What the? I also have a set of keys, and I'll be using them late at night. That's what he said.
What? It's a pretty good impression, though, Kevin. I'll give you that.
Just like Simon, right?
And just like him. And speaking of real estate, David Hasselhoff is on the lookout for some property. He wants to buy a castle where his band can and record and perform.
The Hoff loves to rock.
He does indeed.
This.
I'm concentrating more on my music than on TV right now, he told Metro, a newspaper in the UK. I'm currently looking to buy a castle where I can record and do concerts. I'll call it, wait for it. What do you think he's going to call it?
Don't Hassle the Hoff?
The Hassle Castle.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
it should be Castle Hoff.
Castle Hoff would be awesome.
Wow.
David sadly said, I'll call it the Hassle Castle.
What's the Hassle Castle?
What's wrong with the Marriott? Why is he turning this back on the Marriott?
Not enough room for the whole band, I guess.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
No, they're all booked up. Yeah, you have to buy a castle instead.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. And I don't drink or take drugs.
All right, thank you for that.
All right. I think Hasselhoff has a star. I think he's got a star.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. The Hoff loves to rock.
Got that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Dirk Nowitzki of the Dallas Mavericks celebrates his 30th birthday today.
Alex finds him extremely hot.
Yeah, she loves her some Dirk.
Isn't he the one who loves Hasselhoff? Wasn't he the basketball player who made the comment in the dressing room about how he listened to Hasselhoff to get pumped up for the games? Wasn't it Dirk?
I don't remember that.
I think it's by law.
He's German, right?
German.
Yeah.
He has to.
He was there at the Berlin Wall when David took it down.
Yep.
Paul Dano from Little Miss Sunshine and There Will Be Blood is 24 years old today. Poppy Montgomery from Without a Trace turns 33 years old. Paula Abdul is 46. Kathleen Turner turns 54. I sound a little like Kathleen Turner right now.
You do, yeah.
A little hoarse going on for my voice. And Felicia Rashad of The Cosby Show turns 60. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So now I got to turn my mic on.
Yeah.
So with all the yap and all the complaint and all the bitching you've been doing about the basketball season's now over, hockey's now over, all you have is baseball.
Yes.
What about the X Games? That should make you happy. At least you got a little bit of a summer respite for 3 or 4 days, right?
Got a four-day just oasis.
Nice.
That is such good times. We got Sal Masekela on the line. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Sal, of course, the TV host for the X Games.
And it's doing X Games 14. It's hard to imagine. It's 14 years in already, but it's bigger and better than ever this year, and it's going to be Thursday, July 31st through August 3rd. What's new for 2008, Sal?
Well, my dreadlocks are about an inch and a half longer.
Good.
Proud to say.
Good.
A little Miracle Grow. We've also got a new event called Super Park, which is basically your regular skateboard park on complete steroids. So they're going to let guys go a lot bigger and transition with huge tricks, and we'll be welcoming that for skateboarding and BMX. We've got women's freestyle motocross.
Okay.
Yes, I did say women's freestyle
no
motocross.
Kidding.
How many women do that?
One.
One. Okay.
She just hits the gold.
Gold, silver, and medal.
It's going to be a short event, but okay. All right.
No, actually, I mean, you'd be shocked, man. There's a whole tour of girls that are doing demos all over the country, and they're really, really good, and a few of them are actually really, really hot.
Fantastic.
That's great. How many, Sal, of the 14 hours of programming that are on the air are you hosting during that that weekend?
13 hours and 59 minutes.
Yes, you're getting that minute break. That's important.
Yeah, I mean, during the X Games, my cell phone goes off. I don't see my family. They have me, you know, I'm hosting a lot of just the day's programming. Plus, I do a lot of the play-by-play for the different events. This year, I'll be doing play-by-play for the Big Air, for skateboarding Big Air and BMX Big Air. Of course, last year, we had the shot heard around the world with Jake Brown falling 46 feet from the sky and surviving.
And his shoes just exploded off of his feet. It was the strangest looking thing ever.
I remember that, yeah.
Did you know that we had 2.5 million hits on YouTube by the next morning?
I believe it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, that was one of the can't-miss sporting events of the year last year. I mean, as horrible as that was and as much as nobody wanted it to happen, it couldn't have driven home more of the point that you ought to watch because you really don't know what's going to happen with some of the things these people are trying. I mean, that's what's so different about the X Games, and what I love about it is in any other sport, you pretty much know what the athletes are capable of and what they can do. But every year, one or two things happen in X Games that have never happened before, and you don't get that elsewhere.
No, you don't. I mean, that's really the thing about action sports is it's based and hold and progression. And, you know, frankly, the run that got you a gold medal last year, you'll be lucky if that gets you, you know, a bronze this year.
That's true.
That's how quick things progress. But it's exciting to see that Jake Brown is actually going to come back and compete. And, you know, you could only imagine what could be going through his mind when he's going to be standing at the top of that 70-foot roll.
That's the difference between those guys and me. If I fall 50 feet and my shoes explode, you win, Ramp. I'm out. I'm not going to do this anymore.
Hey, Sal,
you win.
That's a good point. What happened? I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I just thought of it while we're talking to you. This is Sal Masekela. We're talking to the host of the X Games on TV coming the last day of July, first weekend of August, and we'll tell you some ticket information here in a minute. But what happened to the dude that got so much FaceTime last year who was a complete amateur, who had sent in a tape of a ramp he built in his backyard or something like that, and he competed, didn't do super well, but everybody was pulling for him? Where's
that guy
now?
He's going to do the double backflip is what he was saying.
It's funny that you should bring him up. He actually came out to the ESPN X Games World Championships of Motocross
in San Diego,
In San Diego this year, and he pulled the double backflip.
He did it.
Wow. He did it. And he, and he's been doing demos with it across the world. I think he gets. I mean, you know, I don't want to misquote here, but I know he gets a hefty chunk to show up at demos and throw the double backflip. And I think he's like 3 for 6 or something like that, which in baseball that puts you in the Hall of Fame.
Sure, but sure. And double backflips, you're not going to live long that way.
and if you want to, if you need another point about why the X Games rule, by the way, is it's the only, you know, professional sport where a guy could just walk it off the street basically and apply and make it. I mean, you no matter how much you want to play baseball, you can't go down to Yankee Stadium and stand outside and they put you in. I mean, it just doesn't work that way.
Let me get some BP.
Yeah, sure.
I was out at the batting range the other day. You should have seen me. Last year, that was an exception. You know, the one thing that, you know, we definitely want to stress is that, you know, you actually can't come in off the street.
Right.
But this was an exception, and, you know, the governing body and actually all the athletes met, and, you know, they watched this guy's video, and it was like, wow, this is kind of the real deal. He can do it, you know, and this is a trick that only Travis Pastrana, was the only other person that has done. We got to give him an invite. But, you know, generally speaking, you got to work a lot longer. And I mean, I'm going to say harder because, I mean, this guy worked. He cleared forest brush in his Michigan forest, and his foam pit was made out of, like, couches.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not high tech. You know what's weird, though, is I really love Travis Pastrana, and I was rooting against him. I mean, does that make me a bad guy? I didn't want him to do it. I wanted Travis to be the only guy that did it.
No.
Especially
yeah, I was in the time.
I was rooting against Kobe Bryant the other night.
How dare you?
Oh, Sal, how are you going to come at us like that?
F come you, on. Sal Masichella.
So don't feel bad.
All right, X Games 14, Thursday, July 31st through Sunday, August 3rd. It happens at Staples Center in downtown, and also there's a new event across the street from Staples Center called the Event Deck at LA Live downtown.
Yeah, we got the Streetsgate and BMX Street there. That's going to be amazing. The best skaters in the world are going to compete on that. And
is the Big Air still inside Staples Center?
Oh yeah. Come on, dude! Big Air inside the Staples Center is that's prime time right there.
Yeah,
the
best.
Cannot wait for that.
And, of course, Home Depot Center in Carson also hosting many events this year, too. Here's the information. This is why Sal is on this morning at this ungodly hour, is because tickets are going on sale this morning, kids. Today at 10 a.m.
Yeah, buy your tickets now because they're going to go like hotcakes.
Yeah, it does sell out. That's for reals. That's Ticketmaster at 10 o'clock this morning for X Games 14. Prices vary for events, but in honor of Sal's appearance on the program today, we've got tickets we can give away to the K-Rock listeners right now at 1-800-520-1067. Four of you will choose skate final tickets at Staples for Friday night. Six of you will get the Moto finals on Saturday at the Home Depot Center. So call right now 1-800-520-1067. And Sal, I'm sure we'll be talking to you again real soon on the X Games, man. It looks like it's going to be another great show this year.
Definitely. I will call in before X Games, and I'll do some stuff with you during the X Games.
Fantastic.
I love K-Rock.
All right, man. You're the man. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye now.
Kevin Mead, Afroline, on the air for Thursday morning, 323-520-AFRO.
Any topic is fine.
I like butt sex. Yes, I do. I like butt sex. How about you?
Yeah, it's okay.
Good to hear from George Takei. Busy planning a wedding. Still makes time to call the Afro Line.
People call and they especially love a movie.
Ooh, the happening. Ooh, trees and plants. We attack people. Ah!
I think he was mocking.
Yeah, maybe a bit. I got to stand by this next call. I totally agree. I'm on this behind the scenes. I watch Jerry Springer still all the time.
You
He's
do?
Awesome. Really? Listen to this.
Have you guys seen the Jerry Springer show lately? I'm watching a couple of transvestites with beards talking to a fat redneck. There are puppets in the background, a guy in a orangutan costume dressed up gangsta style, and there's a guy with no legs, and it doesn't even look like he is. Across where legs were attached, and he's walking around with a black T-shirt tied underneath him on his hands. I'm not on drugs.
He said, I'm not on drugs.
All of that was in one episode?
Yeah, he's been turning it up lately.
Wow.
I don't know if you've checked.
Impressive.
Didn't realize Jerry was still on.
Still on the air.
I love Jerry, but I had no idea it was still
putting out new shows and getting wackier and wackier all the time. Apparently, remember the days when everybody used to complain that he was the downfall of
Sibyl? Oh, yeah.
Now no one's paying attention, and he's just going crazy. It's awesome. All you Laker haters, F you.
I could ride my car with no Laker flags. No Laker flags.
Apparently that's a Sal Masekela call it in, too, from what we just found out.
Great.
Oh, yes. I go, Mike. No. Swallow. You lost the bet.
What?
Good boy.
Wow.
I don't want to know.
Huh.
You're all very excited about the new Coldplay CD.
La, 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 viva la vida. La necesitos. La, viva la vida.
We've known for a long time that Omar... that works on the show with us, is a full-grown terrorist. And this, I think, proves it.
Hey, Kevin Bean, I'm just watching the news that some student changes grades from all D's and F's to A's and B's. And it was in a high school, and the student's name was Omar Khan. What? They had an Eric.
Omar Khan, facing 69 felony counts.
Daddy, why does Omar have a towel on his head?
I don't know.
Yeah, Eric.
So, this guy was unhappy with our program, and we would like to ask, if you don't mind, that you clarify what it is that you don't like, because this really could be a lot of our show. We don't know.
It could be anything.
It could be everything.
Hey, I wonder if you guys could do anything more not funny. I wonder if you could do anything more inane or less entertaining.
Yeah, you have to give us more to go on. So there's no way.
I got news. We can always be less entertaining.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're very capable of that. Just listen to the rest of today's show. I have not seen this story about human feet washing up on the beach.
What?
Hey, guys. I read a disturbing news story. These people's feet have been washing up on shore in British Columbia. Isn't that, like, right up the coast from Bean? If the feet are washing up on shore, doesn't that mean that their foot was loose?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Right, 95, BGC. I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Here's what I'm saying. If you're going to make a movie and you have to start in the opening scene by putting on a bulletproof vest, I don't know. Maybe that's not a good idea.
Maybe you look around and you go, you know what? I'm going to make a movie about girls that sunbathe in Central Park. That's going to be the documentary film I'm going to make. This music that you're listening from is a band you've never heard of but will once you see heavy metal in Baghdad. The group is called Akrasakata, and I know that I said that wrong. They are a heavy metal band in Baghdad, or at least they used to be in Baghdad, and it's a fascinating story. We're very excited to welcome the director of the film, Sarush Alvi, to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock to tell us what's going on with it. Good morning, Sarush. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're doing fine. As you heard from Kevin, he would be out at the point where he realized he had to put on the bulletproof vest. What was it that made you want to make this movie?
It was a number of things. It was just a story that we'd been following for a while. We wrote about it in our magazine, and we wanted to put something about it on our website, vbs.tv. And we just got obsessed with these guys playing metal in Baghdad.
What does a Akrasakauta mean?
It means black scorpion in
Black
Latin.
Scorpion.
Okay, tell us about, because we, you know, we Americans, we're dumb, and we know so little about that part of the world, even though it seems to be on the news a lot. They only ever tell us what's going on with the war. We don't know much about the people still. There's no heavy metal scene at all in Iraq. It's not like they're one of a lot of bands that grows up and says, hey, that's the kind of music I want to play. I mean, these guys really stand out as being oddballs, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there was a scene in Baghdad. It consisted of about 300 to 400 metalheads and a few different bands that only played in their bedrooms and never played live except for Akrasakauta. They were the only metal band that had the guts to get on a stage and play in Baghdad. And that scene has been decimated over the last couple of years. It's over.
And now this documentary started in 2003 after the war started, right? After Saddam was gone. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then you follow them for 3 years trying to play a gig. And what are some of the problems that they run into in Baghdad trying to play a gig? Because you would think once Saddam's gone, okay, well, now we got it made.
Well, the problem was that, you know, it was hard to play metal when Saddam was in power, and it was probably even harder to play it after Saddam's regime was toppled.
Why?
The amount of, you know, death threats that they were receiving by insurgent groups for playing metal, for you know, playing a Western kind of music, made it very difficult to go public with the fact that they like to play metal.
So the insurgents, pretty much, if you smelled or sounded anything like American, they hate you and kill you.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's not coming from the democratically elected government over there. They're much more tolerant of this sort of thing. It's really just kind of street thugs that are running things outside of the official channels.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when we were over there in the summer of 2006, nobody knew what was going on. There were just so many different militia groups, and there was just this level of fear and paranoia on the streets where nobody knows what the reality is. All they know is that you can get killed.
And the reason you say that, one of the reasons you say that, is because you get pulled over by an Iraqi police car.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, I found this out by watching the movie, guys can get the police car and the you know, costume, whatever the hell you want to call it, and a gun and everything else.
Oh,
and
then they just uniform?
Yeah, uniform. Then they just go off on their own and do anything they want to do. They can shoot people or pull people over, whatever. They, so
oh my God.
When you get pulled over,
you have no idea. Who's
you don't know
pulling
who's
you
pulling
over?
You over. You don't know that it's the police.
Wow.
So that's
it's the Wild West.
Oh my God.
It is. I mean,
it's a total free for all.
It is. That's a great way to describe it, Srish. And we were talking about your movie earlier today, and again, Srish Alvey's on the phone. The film is called Heavy Metal in Baghdad, and it is well worth seeing and is available for rent or purchase right now. We were talking about, as much as your movie is about these guys in the band, and that's fascinating, because I love the fact that it's so underground there, yet all of these kids, you know, so many of these kids know Metallica and know Slayer. I mean, it really is it's an amazing scene over there in that respect. But what was really eye-opening for me was seeing the way these people in your film live day-to-day in some of these cities. I mean, it's nothing to hear explosions and gunshots many times a day, to the point where you kind of get numb to it and you kind of just feel like any day could be my last. I mean, literally, these guys wake up in the morning and don't know if they're going to go to bed at night and still be alive.
Yeah, and imagine living that way through three wars. So these guys, you know, born and raised in the early 80s, first they lived through the Iran-Iraq war, then the first Gulf invasion, and then this war. At a certain point, it just gets to the point where they're completely desensitized to it, and they walk around the streets. They say, if I die, I die. It's my time.
Yeah.
Here's a clip from the movie where you're describing everything that went into them playing publicly.
Organizing the show was a logistical nightmare. The hotel was basically encapsulated by blast walls and barbed wire, and tanks were stationed right outside the door. Every piece of the band's equipment had to be examined to make sure that no bombs were being smuggled in. And the show had to be over by 7 o'clock so the fans could get home before the curfew went into effect. The show went off, and the fans that came had a great time. And they had a brief reprieve from the violence that was surrounding their lives. And after that show, Across the Kaaba would never play in Baghdad again.
Okay, so they got one public show.
Jeez.
Yep.
And then they go to Syria, where – and is that right? It was Syria they went to, right,
yeah,
Srish?
Yeah, they went to Damascus.
Okay, and we hear a little bit about this on the news, about the million or million and a half or whatever it is, refugees from Iraq who have had to flee their own country for a variety of reasons and end up in Syria where nobody wants them there, and they are just treated like dirt. They can barely make a living. And I guess, as I understand from the band's blog, the latest thing I've read is now they've moved on from Syria. They're not there anymore. What happened?
What happened was that the Syrian government basically said there are too many Iraqis in Syria and we're going to start kicking them back in. And the band, their profile had risen, and they were still getting veiled threats from inside of Iraq to them while they were in Syria. So they were worried that they were going to get kicked back in to Baghdad and get killed. And so we, you know, when the film premiered in Toronto last fall, we set up a PayPal account. We started raising money for them on heavymetalinbaghdad.com. And we bought them tickets and flew them out to Istanbul, which is where they are today, living as refugees.
And are they making it in the heavy metal scene there, or is there?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that it's the first time that they ever saw another band play live was once they got to Istanbul. There is a metal scene there. They have played a few shows. They live a dual existence of, you know, on one day they're just dealing with the trials and tribulations of being a refugee, and on the next day they're a fledgling metal band trying to make it. And so, you know, and they've recorded three new songs, and recently Metallica read the New York Times article about the film and contacted us and said we want Akasakauta to open up for us.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So we're working on the Hollywood happy ending to this story right now. And, you know, the problem is that they are stuck as refugees and dealing with the bureaucracy of the UNHCR, the United Nations High Commission for Refugees in Istanbul. So we don't know if we can get them out. But the goal is to get them on stage at Ozfest, opening up for Metallica.
That would be unbelievable. I mean, if they've never seen a band play until just now in Istanbul, imagine Metallica. And that's how they learned English, you said, in part of the movie, was listening to Metallica songs and Slayer and Mayhem.
The two biggest influences are Metallica and Slayer, and it's, you know, kind of unbelievable that Metallica. We've been trying to reach them for a long time, and finally they reached out to us.
That's great.
Which was awesome.
These kids in the band, by the way, you can't help but feel for their situation, but be so impressed with the strength that they show every single day, and particularly that they don't give up this dream. The rock and roll is so important. It's such a lifeblood for them that they keep on keeping on under unbelievable circumstances. I mean, it really is an inspirational movie, and I'm sure you hear that from a lot of people who have seen Heavy Metal in Baghdad, but man, it would be so great for these kids if they had that kind of happy ending.
Yeah, it's you know, music for them was salvation in a war zone. It was the only way they could mentally escape from the environment around them. And they are just more committed to this than anyone I've ever met about anything, just about, which is why we believe in them. And you know, you can't help but want to help these guys.
One last thing that really blew my mind a little bit was they said that for them, heavy metal was a release. And as long as they could do that, they would be okay. But if they couldn't do that, they would be out killing. Because they had so much aggression.
Sure, and anger. That makes sense.
And a lot of time you hear the opposite. You hear, Satan-worshipping music, and it's hard, and that leads to all kinds of violence. And it, in this particular case, it led to a lot less violence because they were able to get their anger and aggression out.
Right.
I thought that was really fascinating.
It's definitely a form of therapy for these guys.
All right, how can people get this? Is it on your site as a DVD? Download or
Baghdad is available on DVD right now. You know, Amazon. It should be available in at a retail level. But I'd like to say one thing, and that is that there is something called Iraq fatigue in America, where people don't want to hear anything that has to do with Iraq.
That's
true. They don't want to watch movies about Iraq.
That's true.
Distributors don't want to pick up movies about Iraq, and this is. It's a rockumentary. It's a travel story. It relates to the consequences of our occupation of this country. So if people can go online, they can go to heavymetalinbaghdad.com and buy it from there. They can go to Amazon, and hopefully at some point, with people like K-Rock talking about it, the big distributors and chains in this country will pick this film up.
I hope so. It's sure worth it.
It is.
We really appreciate you guys having us on.
Thank you, Suresh. Good luck to you, man. Keep us posted on what happens, all right?
Thanks a lot. Take care. Thank you.
See you. Bye-bye.
Heavy Metal in Baghdad.
See your participating dealer for details. Your Toyota, dealer.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, all right. Not Adam and Steve.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Travel. What the hell was that?
Whoops. 5 to 8. Hey, what's that?
Yeah, come on. Playing? Let's rock out to the Ramones.
On
K-Rock.
Woo! How'd that happen? Oh, there we go.
Are you randomly hitting buttons, Kevin? What's
going on? No, that one was 100% my fault. I apologize. I'm sorry.
But Adam and Steve, where did that come from? What does that relate to?
What did you mean to play?
I meant to play that. That was my intention.
And it fit in how?
Because Lisa was talking about...
Steve, gayness,
don't remember
marriages,
any of those things, actually.
Adam...
Thought it would be funny.
I am puzzled. I am really, really puzzled.
You've got a lot of nerve. I like oil cookies.
Mister, I play stuff at random times.
You are Dr. Non Sequitur.
Thank you.
In Kevin's defense, but...
Ralph can yell at me, not you.
I don't know what...
Biatch.
Tina could get some ham.
You know what I love? I love Oreo cookies.
Yeah, 7:56. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's
good? A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
I wish there was a marriage between Adam and Ralph. That's what I wish for.
Adam West?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I know it's silly, but I'm a little depressed.
I'm a little saddened.
We were talking about that before. The list came out. Adam West did not get a star in the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, they released the list of the 25 nominees that will be given a star of the Walk of Fame next year.
I wonder if there were a lot of people who had been putting pressure on for a long time for these people, and they kind of had their minds made up before we ever kind of came to the process. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Because Tinkerbell.
Well, producer Alex tells me that there is in the works a Tinkerbell feature film coming out next year.
Oh, what
okay.
a surprise.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Hmm. What a coincidence that Tinkerbell would get her star on the Walk of Fame the same year Disney's putting out a Tinkerbell Disney movie.
It's too bad they don't make Batman movies anymore, because that would be a tie-in.
I was wondering
maybe next year.
Maybe Warner Brothers has their new Batman and Christian Bale, their new series that they're doing of Batman movies. Maybe they don't want Adam West out there in the public eye all that much. So maybe there's one phone call from Warner Brothers to the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce saying, yeah, why don't you just put that on the back burner, or the back burner, if you
so, will. So do it 6 months after the Batman movie comes out.
Well,
it
the Batman movie's coming out this year. It won't be out next year, so I can't see why that would be a conflict.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't know what the reason is, but they released the names of the 25 recipients this year, and Adam West, sadly, is not on that list.
Pam Anderson?
She's not on the list either.
All right.
But at least Tinkerbell and the Village People are getting stars. That's all I care about.
Thank God.
It's way past due.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West. Adam West, Adam West.
It's from my new Broadway musical I'm writing called Adam West. Chuck Lorre, by the way. We talked about the TV producer Chuck Lorre. I had no idea who he was. Did a little research.
He's a dude in House.
No.
Dr. House.
No, that's you, Lorre.
Oh.
Chuck Lorre is the creator of Two and a Half Men.
Oh, my God.
It just gets worse. It just gets worse.
I find that so funny.
I know you do.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Here's one of the worst jobs in Hollywood. Nicole Kidman's bodyguards.
Why?
She needs a bodyguard?
She must pay them a mint. Apparently, the New York Daily News says a paparazzi photographer was trying to follow Nicole and her husband, Keith Urban.
Right.
And a member of her security detail laid down in front of the paparazzi's car in the middle of the street.
Dude.
To stop
him? To keep him from following Nicole and Keith as they sped away.
That man is committed.
That is one tough hired hand.
No kidding.
Wow. He laid in the street for about 5 minutes holding up traffic, then got up. Wished everyone a nice evening and walked away as Nicole and Keith were already gone.
That's hilarious. And dangerous.
Human
that
sacrifice.
Is awesome.
Now that's what's required to keep the paparazzi out of your hair. Human sacrifice.
Risk your own life.
Yeah. Britney Spears is stupid.
Yeah.
Apparently she is preparing for her sister Jamie Lynn's baby's birth by putting a private jet on retainer at all times. So that when Jamie Lynn goes into labor, she and her dad Jamie can fly off to Louisiana to be there for the baby's arrival.
There's no other way to fly from Los Angeles to Louisiana, Ralph, without a private jet.
And if you're afraid that the baby's going to come in any minute,
go
to Louisiana.
Just go on over.
Go there and hang out for a while and then wait for the baby to be born.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a private jet fueled and waiting on the tarmac at all moments. Unless you're stupid.
I'm not sure what she needs is Britney there.
Yeah, really. Here's a list of the 25 worst sitcoms in history.
Oh, good.
This is a great list.
All right.
This is some good stuff. TV Crunch, the entertainment news website, has put this together. The tabulated list of the 25 worst sitcoms ever.
Okay.
I'll just give you some highlights because I know we're short on time. At number 25, this is from 25 to 1, Veronica's Closet.
Yeah.
That was pretty horrible.
That wasn't good.
Don't remember much about that one.
It was one with Kirstie Alley where she played a lingerie designer.
Oh, yeah, and she was fat.
Like Victoria's
Secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
Was David Spade on that show, too?
No. I don't think so.
No.
It was Dan
Cortese.
Yeah, he was okay. on
it. And Chill Mitchell.
Sorry I asked.
Chill Mitchell?
You didn't make that name up?
No.
That's someone?
Chill Mitchell.
He was the black dude on that, the funny black dude who ended up in a wheelchair afterwards.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And Kathy DeJimmy played her best friend.
Okay,
that's right.
Really, that's
you
enough. Want,
you want to know some more about
I'm really sorry I asked.
Well, it was on for years.
I apologize.
Right,
Charles in Charge, number 24.
What?
Oh, how are you going to come at Scott Baio like that?
The Nanny, number 23.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Webster, 22. The All American Girl, Margaret Cho's sitcom, at 21.
I don't remember that.
God awful. Yeah. How is that not awful. Number one? I have no idea. Babes.
What's don't know what that story, is.
It was like Friends for Fat Chicks.
Okay.
I never saw that.
It was like four fat chicks hanging out together in New York. It's horrible.
Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, yeah.
Family Matters.
What?
The Ropers.
With Urkel?
The Ropers.
The Ropers.
The spinoff from Three's Company.
Sure.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Tambor, though.
That's right. That's right. Life on a Stick.
Never heard of it.
That was the sitcom, short-lived sitcom on Fox about the girls who worked at Hot Dog on a Stick.
Oh.
Something wow.
Like yeah.
That sounds like boring. Wow.
It's a Living.
Don't know that one.
I don't know that one either. That was the cocktail waitresses who worked at the bar with Ann Jillian. And that guy, the piano player guy, the sleazy guitar player guy. Yeah, they play one song.
You might as well be speaking a foreign language. I do not recognize this.
Shasta McNasty.
I don't know what that is.
No. I have no, even I, in my voluminous knowledge of television, have never heard of Shasta McNasty.
I remember the name. I don't know anything about it, though.
I think it's the sex position where you use a can of cola.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
The Shasta McNasty. George.
Nope.
Remember a sitcom called George?
George Foreman's sitcom. Nope. That's what that was.
Wow.
Yes, that was the one that he started.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Harry and the Hendersons. The spinoff from the movie.
That's right. With Bruce Davidson.
Stop it.
We Got It Made.
Never heard of it.
Sounds so generic.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like any sitcom from the 70s.
Yeah.
Double Trouble.
Don't know that.
Were they twins?
Or Double Trouble, if you're our... Miss Cleo, who works here on the show. Perfect Strangers.
No way!
Oh, that was pretty horrible. That show.
It's pretty horrible.
Come on. No,
I think you remember it better than it was.
It was like Mark and Mindy without the comedy.
Dude, Valky was a god.
My Two Dads.
Horrible.
Yeah. That's pretty bad. Baby Bob.
Don't
remember
know
they
one.
Tried to
oh,
give the yes. talking baby from the commercials
no.
about sitcom?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Baby Bob. That's right.
Mama's Family?
Yeah, horrible.
That was horrible.
Oh, that was the Carol Burnett
Vicki Lawrence show, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cavemen?
I figured sure. that had to That'd be on, the on list. There.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Whoops.
What is Whoops? Come
on. Apparently there was a sitcom called Whoops.
There was no. not a sitcom called Whoops.
There was a sitcom called Whoops. Number three, Yes, Dear.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, Homeboys in Outer Space. I believe it was on the UPN about black dudes in space.
That's Did you say right.
Whoops? Whoops. Right. I got to find out some more about Whoops. And number one, the worst TV sitcom of all time. Small Wonder.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
With Vicky the Robot.
Yeah, that was bad.
Vicky the Robot Child.
You see that on YouTube. YouTube, they have a bunch of clips up there.
I am their daughter. Oh, okay. I believe you that you're not a robot. Yeah. I will go to school now. Guys, the worst robot inventor in the world.
Ralph, here's what one website says about a sitcom named Woof.
Whoops.
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 Whoops. Different one. I think it was from the 80s at some point. The opening credits involved a military parade in which a live nuclear weapon goes off accidentally. The plot included the cast holed up in a cabin somewhere and fighting a huge mutated spider.
Come on.
That is not possible. I want to see that.
It was a sitcom about nuclear holocaust?
That's a pretty know. Big whoops.
That's
I
a bad
know.
Whoops.
If that's accurate or not, but that's the first listing that came up.
They
off.
All look at the camera at the same time and go, whoops, I set up a nuke.
That's a great list. I want some sort of a film festival where we see episodes from each of those shows.
I want to see Whoops and I want to see Shasta McNasty. That's for sure. I'll do a little research. I'll come back with some answers to these.
Okay, good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kathleen Turner is 54 years old today. Paul Abdul turns 46. Poppy Montgomery from Without a Trace is 33. And Paul Dano, the talented actor from Little Miss Sunshine, who played the silent brother and also was Daniel, the spooky religious nutbag from I Drink Your Blood or whatever.
Milkshake.
The milkshake, yeah. There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
I Drink Your Blood. It was a whole different movie. That was right after Deathbed. I think it was a double feature. Paul Dano's 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There was an old shriveled up woman in New York that had all the money in the world and treated people like crap.
Yeah.
And she was on trial for tax evasion, I believe, in 1989. She got the nickname Queen of Mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She, according to a former housekeeper, said, "We don't pay taxes. Only the little people pay taxes."
Yeah.
That was her famous quote. And that's what came out of that trial that led to her conviction in jail time, by the way. But her name was Leona Helmsley. And she's in the news again this week, even though she's dead, because I guess some relatives contested her will because she left $12 million to her dog.
She has a Maltese named Trouble that lives in Florida, apparently. And
Trouble.
And she left $12 million to her dog.
You know, you can love your dog and want it to have the best of everything and still no dog needs more than, I don't know, $20,000 to live the rest of its life comfortably.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. So a Manhattan judge.
In great comfort, yeah.
A Manhattan judge said, no more 12, two.
$2 million.
The dog has to live on two.
Still seems good.
So.
I guess there were some relatives who maybe didn't get anything that were actually in her family that said, hey, wait a minute, judge.
Yeah. I think so. But according to this article, they gave it to her charitable foundation.
Oh, it all went to her charity.
It's hard to believe she even had one, by the way.
No Queen of
Mean. Well, it's a very sad little dog. And we asked producer Alex to line Trouble up for us so that we could talk to him or her on the phone right now.
Trouble morning, just trouble. Hung up. Trouble hung up.
What happened to Trouble?
Trouble is well named. That's what.
Sounds like it.
Bitchy little dog.
$2 million. Well, how's a dog supposed to live on that?
I think the dog is living with the manager or the person who runs one of Leona Helmsley's hotels down in Florida. I think the dog has a pretty cushy life down there living at the hotel, but still, it doesn't seem like maybe
well, you need $2 million. If it's a nice hotel, a suite is not cheap.
That's true.
It could be.
Hello? Trouble?
Woof.
Trouble?
Woof. Woof.
You sound so sad.
Yes.
Are you okay?
No, I'm sad.
Aww.
Because I am not as rich as I used to be.
Well, I mean, you lost $10 million this week.
I know. That's a lot of money to lose, even for a dog.
What,
woof, woof.
What kind of plan? If you can speak, why do you have to say woof?
That's dog language.
What kind of plans did you have for that $10 million?
I had lots of plans. First and foremost, I was going to buy my testicles back. Going to go to that mother effing doctor who took them and buy them back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you think he saved them in a jar? Because that would be crazy for somebody to do that.
People have done crazy things.
That's true.
Okay.
And then I was going to get that money and I was going to bang the most famous dog in the world.
Who's that?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
I'm sorry to tell you this, Trouble, but she's a horse.
Horse, dog, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, species sex.
I was going to teach her what Trouble was. Here comes Trouble, I was going to say.
Oh, wow.
And then
wow.
I'd show up on her door, knock.
Now, are you, of course, you may be sad today, but when your owner, Leona Helmsley, was alive, did you like her? Because it seemed like everybody was pretty happy when she died, Trouble.
Leona had her problems, but she always treated me well.
She did.
She would give me tasty biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
She would buy me nice collars.
Right.
She would express my anal glands.
Oh, no one should do that.
Well, sometimes you have to.
No.
Sometimes you just need your anal glands expressed.
No. No.
Ask Ryan Seacrest.
How do you know about him all the way from Florida?
Oh, I listen to America Top 20.
Okay, all right.
Top 10 or whatever the F that show is.
I don't know.
You're a pretty smart dog.
I am. I can sit. I can roll over.
Right.
I can fetch. And I speak English.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I was kind of impressed
by that. I don't know how
that
made fourth on the list, but still. Woof, 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 woof.
So can you do anything? I mean, is $2 million worth even rolling out of bed for? Is that going to be enough to get you through in your remaining years?
I'll try. But it's that judge, Renee Roth, who has me ticked off.
Yeah, she's the one that reduced it?
That bitch.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a good way.
Not in a good dog way?
Ooh, that's a hot bitch. I can smell her heat from here.
Right.
Not that kind of bitch.
Right. I can see that.
I'm going to find out where she lives, and I'm going to poop on her doormat and ring the bell and run away.
That'll really show her.
Yeah, and set it on fire. When she tries to stamp it out, poop kebab.
All over her foot.
Yeah.
That's a good plan.
That's funny.
All right, Trouble. Good luck with that.
Woof.
Why is Omar in the studio again? What kind of trouble are we in? What's going on?
Here's the thing. We got a story. I think Lightning found this and forwarded it to us about a cruise line, Royal Caribbean Cruise. That, you know how companies always say that the customer is always right? And then they bend over backwards, and then people take advantage to become a-holes, and the cast is always trying to bend over backwards, go, okay, we're sorry, we'll make it up to you. They finally got so tired of a couple from Cleveland complaining about everything on the cruise line that they banned them for life.
Read that story when it happened. Yeah, they got some free stuff, so they complained again about something else on a cruise that they took, and then they got some more free stuff, so they kept going, and then eventually the company said, screw you, you can't sail on our ship anymore.
So that got us started, and a lot of us have stories of getting kicked out of stuff I was kicked out of Romper Room when I was a kid. That was a little kid's TV show, and they had a clown. You know those punching bags that you can punch it down, and then it comes back up?
Yeah.
I was fascinated by the fact that it kept coming back up, and I kept punching, and they were trying to do something else.
And you wouldn't stop?
And they literally threw me off the set. And my mom had to take me back home. I was like,
sorry about that, Mom.
They said, this is not for you. Yeah. They made you leave.
I also got kicked off Tom Sawyer Island in Disneyland for some reason, and I barely remember this, too. I was climbing up trees and dropping, like, branches on people. I don't know why.
Well, you can't do that.
Of course not. Of course, it's a horrible idea. Omar is in here.
DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah, this won't surprise you, but I was drunk in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I don't remember this, but Dave tells me that I was in the Club Dre's in the Barbary Coast. And
it's an after-hours club. It opens like at 2.
It opens like at 3 or 4 or something.
And then when you walk out, it's one of those situations where you go, wow, it's bright already.
Yeah. So, I don't remember this because I blacked out. And I was doing the moonwalk on the dance floor. I cleared the dance floor, and some guy started talking to me, and I guess I got in a fight, and the security guard got me in a headlock and escorted me all the way out.
That is so
typical. DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah.
Omar probably has 700 stories like that.
But I don't remember them.
I was kicked out of the House of Blues in Hollywood when DJ Omar Khan tried to punch the crowd.
That's right.
He tried to fight everyone.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's
one,
when
too.
That's when you were at the
Omar Khan facing 69 felony counts.
Eric.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 from places you got kicked out. We have a wacky intern named Teen Wolf. Good morning, Teen.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Teen Wolf.
Hey.
You've been kicked out of every store in the Grove, did you say?
Yeah, every single one of them.
Why?
What in the world did you do?
Did you check them off the list and go back? Was it a goal?
Well, it only became a goal after the first 10.
But I mean, how have most of us shopped our whole lives and never been kicked out of a store? What did you do in there?
Well, most people don't throw ice off the balcony of the Barnes & Noble.
Well,
yeah,
that'll do it.
It's mostly drunk. That's really kind of what happens.
Yeah, I go to Barnes & Noble when I'm drunk. That's for sure.
We were in
that is a party
spot. Party.
We were in high school. Most of the bad things that ever happened were in high school and were drunk.
I'm going to drink and I'm going to go read a book like crazy. I'm going to read the hell out of that book.
The worst one, I was kicked out of everyone, but I've only been banned from one. And it's not like the 1940s ban where they have your picture next to the cash register.
Right.
But the security guard told me never to come back or he'd personally kick my ass.
Nice.
Oh,
good.
I took a whole bunch of caffeine, like 5 energy drinks and a bunch of caffeine pills, and we played a human Pac-Man at Nordstrom's.
Nice.
And that's kind of where you just assault customers.
You assaulted customers?
Not violently.
You try and eat them?
How else do you assault people?
You kind of slap your hands together, kind of like the mouth of the Pac-Man, and run at people. And usually don't get close enough to actually hit them.
God.
Teen has brain damage.
Yeah.
Teen, what happened to you at Home Depot? What's that story?
Oh, my friends thought it'd be funny to take me there when I was drunk because I'm a climber.
Right.
And I decided to try to climb to the top of the lumber aisle.
I can see that.
Nothing could go wrong.
Yeah, and apparently, it's all apparently because I don't remember almost any of it. But I started screaming, I'm the king of sandwiches.
That position was open at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was like right before closing, so everyone there
king
was
of sandwiches.
Because that makes sense, standing on a bunch of lumber.
Yeah. They had to get the cherry picker and drag me out of the store.
Nice.
That's fantastic. That's a great story, team.
I've never been taken out by a cherry picker. That rules.
Well, yeah.
I don't think I could have done it. Not drunk.
Of course.
You wouldn't have wanted to either, by the way. Something about drinking makes it look appealing. Hey, isn't that one of the signs of potential alcoholism if you have too many stories that you don't remember that your friends tell you about?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine.
All right, we're going to take some calls. Thank you, Teen. We're going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. You've been kicked out, and especially if you've been banned. That's extra funny. Give us a call. We'll take your calls. You are listening
Lisa's
to.
She's going to get kicked out of this show. She's going to be the next person to call in about where she got kicked out of. It's going to be the Kevin and Bean Show. She's mouthing off.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K Rock 106.7 KROQ. We're talking about places you got kicked out of. And, of course, no shortage of calls.
Well, certainly not. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Chris in Riverside. He's on line 2. I am shocked if Chris's story is true. Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K Rock. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. You got kicked out of what?
You told the call screener you got kicked out of a library. They have libraries in Riverside.
Yeah, believe it or not,
good point.
They have libraries in Riverside, but only in the high schools. So,
all right, what happened?
I was in my senior year. I was pretty much done with all my classes. I only had to take like three units or one class at the end of my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
I used to spend a lot of time in the library with a bunch of the other derelicts, just doing stupid stuff, you know, putting fruit behind the books and going back and checking on it 2 weeks later. And
so that it rots because nobody sees it's there?
Yeah, it smelled real bad. And turning the record players up real loud. But the thing that put us over the top was our librarian, he wore those old-fashioned hearing aids.
Mm-hmm.
He got next to him and banged quarters together. It used to send feedback back in his head. And really pissed at him.
Chris, that's strong.
He was cranky, though. He was cranky.
Really? So, I can't imagine why.
Well, he finally had enough of me, and he said to me, and his exact words were, "You are banned from this library for life."
So if you want to go back to the high school library when you're 30, no can do.
Wait a minute. There's more. I went back. You know those stupid time capsule things they do?
Sure.
10 years later, they open them up. I went back. He was there. He would not let me in the library.
Yes!
I like it.
Face!
Who had the last laugh now, Mr. That's Rotten awesome. Fruit?
By the way, don't do that, all right? Don't do any of that. Poor people that work in a high school, they have no money, they have no resources, they have nothing. I mean, they're so swamped for time and energy right now, and you do stuff like that to them.
Yeah,
right?
So what we're saying is don't do this.
Exactly.
Don't do that. Nick in Orange on the Kevin Beach on Kara. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hi, Nick.
Place you got kicked out of?
I got kicked out of a minor league baseball game.
Minor league?
Yeah, it was in El Paso, and we were drunk, and the stadium was so small, we were heckling both teams because they both sucked. And they didn't like that, so they kicked us out. So I said, clearly we were inebriated, and I said, you know, I got to go to the bathroom before I leave. And I mysteriously found myself in the mascot locker room. You know, the minor league teams have all the random piecemeal mascots.
Right.
I saw this big, giant, yellow cat head with a purple mohawk, and I just had to have it. So
sure.
I called my buddy, told him to pull up to the front of the stadium. I grabbed the cat head and busted out of the emergency exit and made it out of there with the cat head.
You still have the cat head?
No, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. We kept it around for about 3 years, and we left it out after one night of party, and we got pictures. Almost every party we had,
that's too
the
bad.
Cat head made an appearance.
Cat head's gone.
Awesome.
That is pretty cool. That actually is pretty
best.
Cool.
I'll send you a picture of me that night. With
please
the cat
do.
Head dancing.
Yeah, please
thank
do.
You, Nick.
Thank
appreciate
you,
it. Let's go down to Pomona on line four, I want to say. Cameron joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Cameron, where were you kicked out of, dude?
I was kicked out of a movie theater in a small town in South Dakota.
What were you doing?
I was trying to light... I had, like, some homemade napalm and was trying to spell my name in giant letters.
Hold on a second here.
You were trying to spell your name in giant letters in napalm. Where?
On the parking lot, you know, in the, you know, just right there between the cars, you know, just like, so when people would come out of the movie theater, they'd be like, oh, hey, check it out, you know.
And Cameron. Your name can't be Rick. It's got to be Cameron.
Yep.
A lot of letters. Did you get it done?
No, they came out there pretty quick after the flames got pretty high. So,
were you just kicked out that night, or were you banned from ever coming back to that movie theater?
They banned me forever, and it was funny because it was, you know, such a small town. This was like a theater that only had like three screens to it, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like a high school kid, and you know, so my mom like wrote a note, was like, "Can you please let them come back to the movie theater?" You know.
Did it work?
Yeah, it did actually. They let it go after about a year, but you know,
that's awesome. Thank you for the call, Cameron. We only have time for one more, and it has to be Nick in Chatsworth. There must be a great story that involves getting kicked out of six places at the same time. Hey, Nick.
Hey, morning, party people. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Nick.
So in Las Vegas, obviously completely smashed most of the time.
Right.
Just gambling, you know, having fun, and we end up heckling, you know, one of the people at the poker table. Well, it got to the point where
heckling one of the other players?
Yeah, actually one of the other players.
All right.
You know, we were just completely smashed, you know, kind of showing other people our cards. And it was just
right.
Fun. But, so we ended up just getting a huge argument with this guy, and, you know, security came over to us and just, you know, took us into the back room and told us, hey, you know what, you're banned for life. And not only one casino, you know, it was MGM, so we got kicked out of six casinos.
Oh, all the ones that they own.
Everything in the chain. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do have photos and stuff.
Yeah, they do.
But if you went this weekend and walked into one of those casinos, they'd never pick you out of the crowd. You could totally go back in if you wanted, right?
I could. You know, I've done it before, but I try to be a little wary about which casinos I go to. But
sure.
The good news is, at the time, I was using a fake ID. So it's not necessarily me that's kicked out.
Ah, very nice.
There you go.
Nicely done.
Chance that they take you into that room, man, and they beat you up.
They beat you up. I saw that in Ocean's 13 or whatever.
Totally.
All right. Thank you, Nick, for the call. I know we're late on time. I do want to squeeze in Jen, though, from Simi Valley. Good morning, Jen.
Hi, how are you guys? Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
You got kicked out of a hotel.
I was in Havasu. It was a Memorial Day weekend, and there's a bar that's called the Naked Turtle that
right.
you kind of can swim right up, hang out in the cove. I got out, had a few drinks with my girlfriends before we headed out, and I was waiting at the bar to get my cocktail, and lo and behold, somebody comes over and says, "You need to put some shorts on." And I looked, and I said, "Well, I'm in a bathing suit." They said, "No, this is a family restaurant." I didn't know those existed in Havasu. And apparently wearing my bathing suit wasn't, I guess they didn't like thongs.
Were you wearing just a bikini?
Oh,
is that what it was?
Thong?
A thong?
Yeah, everyone else was in their bathing suits, their board shorts, having a fun time. Well, apparently my bathing suit wasn't appropriate.
Ass is too sweet.
Fantastic.
Apparently, yeah. That's
to say,
your ass is so hot, you're out.
I was in Havasu when we were in a restaurant, and they had bar stools at the counter, and this girl in a thong walked in and sat down, and we're all like, ew.
Yeah.
No,
I think that's not an ew. I think that's
a
yes.
Yuck.
Yes for the bar stool, no for the girl.
Thank you, Lisa. 8:55 now, time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Inexplicably, the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce has released their Walk of Fame recipients for 2009, and as you may have heard, we were pushing hard to get Adam West, TV's Batman, and the mayor of Quahog on Family Guy, his star in the Walk of Fame after 50 years in the entertainment business, and he's not on the list.
You're an abomination!
But luckily, Rush, Tinkerbell, the Village People, and the guy who created 2.5 Men are all getting their stars. So we can all sleep well tonight knowing that they're receiving honors for their spectacular work.
Did you say Tinkerbell?
Tinkerbell, the fictional fairy.
Yeah.
Peter Pan's little friend, Tinkerbell.
Which, by the way, came out in a book when? Over 100 years ago, yet they have to do it this year instead of Adam West.
And the movie, the famous Disney animated film, Peter Pan, came out, I guess, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell.
Village People. A lot of fairies on the list. Rush. Because,
yeah.
You know, you can't go anywhere without hearing Tom Sawyer now being played on the radio. They're so hot.
Their new album rips, dude.
Shut up.
It does.
But again, this is what we always say. The Hollywood Walk of Fame is a publicity tool for Hollywood. It's for tourists. It's for people who get off the boat, get off the plane, go downtown, start walking around. Are they going to be more excited by seeing Rush on the sidewalk or TV's Batman Adam West?
That's what I'm saying. You want to see Chuck Lorre's star who created 2.5 Men? Are they going to go, wow, honey, get me a picture. I'm going to lay down next to Chuck Lorre's star. Get a photo for the kids at home.
Ralph, wasn't he also the Dharma and Greg dude? Didn't he create that show,
He's responsible for a lot of badness. That's all I know. But, Village
Coast
People.
Love Connection?
That was Chuck Woolery.
Oh.
It's a different Chuck.
Dr. House, though.
What's with that face? All right, moving on. Congratulations to Jamie Lynn Spears. She had her baby today.
Oh, no kidding.
Little baby,
whoops.
Trash.
Spears.
Trash. White trash? No, Maddie. Maddie Bryan.
No.
Maddie Bryan?
Maddie Bryan.
The girl?
Yes, we think.
I like Lisa's name better. Whoops would have been a better name for the kid.
Wow.
She had the baby this morning around 9:30 Louisiana time, so congratulations. Everyone's healthy and happy.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Apparently, Brittany and dad, Jamie, and brother Brian Spears, one of the most eligible bachelors in Hollywood.
Who's Brian? I've never heard of Brian.
Flew in last night on a private jet to be there, so they were all there present for the birth of Maddie Bryan.
Good times.
Maddie Bryan. Hey, here's
She's
a little...
17, right?
Yes.
That's Jamie?
Right.
Little Jamie's 17.
17.
Yeah, nice.
A little programming note, if you're a television fan, I got a letter here from the producer of Last Comic Standing.
Yes.
Uh-huh. He suggests we all tune in tonight.
Oh.
Armenian comedian
there
time?
He can't say too much, but there may be an appearance from our very own Sam, the Armenian comedian. So you may not want to miss tonight's Last Comic Standing. Here's the letter. I am the producer on Last Comic Standing, urging you all to tune into tonight's special international auditions for our show. I can't say too much about Sam's performance, except to let you know that it is very memorable.
Yes.
And one of my personal highlights from this season. And not just because of his comic brilliance, if you get my drift.
Interesting.
So,
He was so great last time. Remember, he tried to do ventriloquism, and he dropped the dummy, and then mic'd the dummy first, then dropped the dummy. He had a magic trick. I mean, he was doing everything but tell jokes. So what can he possibly have for tonight?
He was doing a magic trick.
I'm hoping...
the Last Comic Standing.
That's the comic of the word. Standing. I'm hoping some recorder. I'm hoping that he breaks out the recorder.
What about this song? That may be his best hit ever.
I think so.
I hope he uses the N-word.
I hope he gets a star in the Walk of Fame.
That's what I love about Sam.
Yeah.
So not
you
this
know,
time.
We Armenians are like the n***s. Oh!
I was talking about the top 25 worst television sitcoms in the history.
Right.
And
yes.
There was a bunch in there we weren't quite sure what they were about.
So we had no
idea. Did a little research and found out some answers for us. Shasta McNasty is not a sex trick.
Euphemism?
Using a can of soda.
Okay.
It is, in fact, a sitcom starring Jake Busey, son of Gary Busey, as a member of a three-man band named Shasta. And they're slackers and they hang out.
No, they don't.
Scott, Dennis, and Randy.
That's crazy.
And their band Shasta. Three 20-somethings hang out without doing any real work. They're slackers. Oh, how could that be bad?
How could that not make it?
We got made.
How long ago was that show on, the Shasta McNasty?
Early.
Is it 90s?
Late 90s, early 2000s.
Wow.
Okay. We Got It Made was a show from the 80s about two odd couple roommates who hire a live-in maid playing by the stunningly beautiful Terry Copley. We Got It Made was spelled M-A-I-D. We Got It Made.
Wow.
That is a pure 80s sitcom right there.
That's good.
It's like Three's Company, basically, with two dudes and a smoking hot maid. I remember that Terry Copley that was just smoking.
Was she right?
Yeah, she was great. Double Trouble starred twin sisters Jean and Liz Siegel. Remember the Siegel twins?
Nope.
Two twin sisters, Kate and Allison Foster, are as different as night and day. Kate is the fun one, and Allison is serious. Together, they're Double Trouble.
Come on.
And lastly, Whoops! No, I don't want to give that away yet. Homeboys in Outer Space.
Mm-hmm.
This UPN sitcom featured Morris and Tiberius, two fun-loving black fellows
in space
who flew about in space in a winged starship called the Space Hoopty.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yes. Homeboys in Outer Space.
And there are people out there that are trying to get good things made.
And lastly, Whoops.
Whoops.
Whoops was a show about a nuclear missile accidentally being set off, which causes the Russians to counterattack, leaving only six people alive in the United States.
Okay.
Sounds hilarious.
The hijinks and misadventures and misfits putting their differences aside for the space of continuing the species on Earth.
So it had a message.
Yeah.
That's good.
There was a school teacher, a feminist, a stockbroker, a homeless person, a pathologist, and the narrator. Just living together on a farm.
It was actually a narrator that was one of the last six. That's great news.
Good
if they didn't have a narrator.
Then we wouldn't know what was going on. So there's your background on some of the 25 worst
sitcoms
of all time.
See, if there are only six people left in the whole country, you hope that you get, I don't know, a handyman. You know, somebody who can actually get stuff done for you.
No, they got a school teacher, a feminist,
a narrator,
a stockbroker.
You need a narrator. How are you going to tell the story?
A pathologist and a sexy dumb girl. Oh.
Well, you do need that.
It's Gilligan's Island, basically.
Together, hilarity ensued.
The hijinks. Couldn't get enough of it.
I want Whoops now.
I need to see America loves Whoops. We'll try to get Whoops on. Today's celebrity birthday is Felicia Rashad. Remember her from The Cosby Show?
Sure.
She played Mrs. Huxtable.
I think she got a bell for In the Day, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
She still looks
good.
She still looks good.
She does.
Kathleen Turner had a bell in her day.
Yeah.
No more bells for Kathleen Turner.
No.
54. Paula Abdul from, of course, American Idol is 46.
Robin Tunney. You know Robin Tunney, the actress who does a lot of independent films, and she's a very sexy, talented woman.
No picture
she's
coming to my head.
36. There's a surprise. She's 36 years old today. Poppy Montgomery from Without a Trace is 33. And Paul Dano, who was so good in Little Miss Sunshine and even better in There Will Be Blood. He played Daniel, the religious zealot who gets his milkshake drunken.
Yes, he does. He had a bad experience bowling, that boy did.
He did. You don't want to go bowling with Daniel Day-Lewis. I know that much because that turns out poorly. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I think it's over now, though.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Give us a call to get on the air, and you win a prize today. It's a copy of The Bourne Conspiracy for Xbox 360, which I hear is awesome, by the way, plus a brand new Aleaf Jawbone Bluetooth headset. All of that for joining us on the radio here this morning on K-Rock.
All right, let's begin with Chris, who is calling from North Hollywood. Good morning, Chris.
Kevin and Bean, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Chris?
Going on?
Guys, my buddy got pulled over in my car and ashed his cigarette out my window. And yes, the cops were gave us a $1,000 ticket.
The guy was smoking.
Hold the phone.
The guy was smoking and he clicked the ashes off outside the window. So that
he
was.
He ashes it. He doesn't flick the cigarette. He ashes it.
So he doesn't throw the butt out the window. It's just the ash.
And cops pulled over and he's like, all right, who's got identification? We're like, both of us. What are you guys doing? I got done running at the track. He's like, what, you guys running and smoking? And it's like,
nice.
We run and smoke. You got a problem with it? God, you guys being a dick.
Wow. Smoking Nazis, man.
How is that a $1,000 ticket, though? I've never heard of that before.
Littering? Is it a littering ticket?
Yeah.
Dude, I poked my head out of the sunroof. I was like, you know, this guy's in college. We're in an economic depression.
You tried to tell the cop there's an economic depression? Really?
Well, we shouldn't live in a world where the government gives you $600 rebate on your taxes but charges you $1,000 for ashing a cigarette.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you.
That does seem absurd.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, sometimes I'll have a beverage cup in the car and I'll be done with it and I'll throw the ice out the window.
Guilty!
Same thing? Same thing? Is that something I can get a ticket for?
No.
This is in Glendale, no less.
Glendale,
this is Glendale PD.
Well, Glendale PD
has nothing to do. That's the problem.
They are well known for you do not want to speed, go through red lights, make U-turns. They are crazy in Glendale.
Department of the Holy. He busted me in L.A. LAPD jurisdiction, though. He's like, well, your infraction was back behind Lowell, so I got to pull you over anyway.
Right, Chris,
like,
let me ask you this question, because I have a hunch.
What's that?
You were an a-hole to him, weren't you?
What?
You were an a-hole to the cop, weren't you?
No.
That's what I thought.
No, I don't believe it.
Sounds like there might have been a little bit of attitude.
That's what I thought.
Look, we're still on your side. It's still bogus. Sure. I mean, you should have got the ticket, but I bet you earned it.
No, dude. These guys followed me for a mile looking for anything, and my stupid buddy's like, oh, he won't pull us over. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Wait a minute. Your buddy knew that the cop was behind you when he ashed his cigarette?
He followed us for a mile, you guys. He followed us for a mile. He stayed on my hip, and then my buddy's just like, whatever. And I'm like, what? No. It was like slow motion.
Yeah.
You just slammed on your brakes, let the cop crash into you. Say, what are you doing following me so close?
All right, Chris, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
I think in California, the only things you can dump out your window, literally, legally, is ice or water and chicken feathers. I think chicken feathers are legal.
That's legal?
Yeah.
In case you're hauling chickens.
You got to keep the chicken, but the feathers are okay.
Yeah, in case you're hauling chickens.
$1,000, though, may be disproportionate. Mike in Santa Monica, line 2 on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Mike, what'd it do?
What did you guys? How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
So we've got to put a stop to Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
This new piece of crap coming out, Dave and Dave.
Meet Dave.
The new where he plays 17 characters.
Yeah. Yeah. How original for him. They're doing a promotion where they're running a truck from New York to L.A. and in tow is a 10-foot, 3-ton replica of Eddie Murphy's face. So if you're driving behind it, Eddie Murphy is staring right at you, 3 tons.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any problem with those kind of promotions. That's fine. But make a better movie. That's all I'm saying.
But Bean, he's a little Dave who lives inside a giant robot Dave. And they come to visit our planet with the giant robot Dave.
And do they have some sort of a daddy daycare center?
No, it's just robot Dave with little Dave inside.
Look, all of these Eddie Murphy family-friendly movies, every single one of them has been a hit. I mean, there's an audience out there for these movies. I don't know anybody who goes to see them, but somebody is making him money.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
I mean, not even Kevin goes to see the Eddie Murphy movies. I mean, seriously, people, if you're planning on going to see Meet Dave, think about it. Kevin doesn't even go.
It's below my line.
There's got to be a black Kevin somewhere, though, who is going to see those movies.
Black Kevin. Oh, man.
I saw that band over the weekend. They're good. Ray in Long Beach. Good morning.
Black Kevin.
Exactly.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
I want to defend Shasta McNasty.
Impossible to do.
One of the list that Ralph gave us was the worst 25 sitcoms in history, and Shasta McNasty was on it.
That's for critics. Those are critics. It was an underappreciated, before its time, stoner comedy. That's what it was. It was Blink 182 meets Harold and Kumar. That's what it was.
But Ray,
meets Gary Busey.
Every show is good if you're high.
Well, it was before its time.
It's time being after I smoke a bowl.
All right, let me ask you this. If it was before its time, are you saying that if it had come out now, for instance, if that was a brand new show that had never been done before and it was introduced tonight, people would like it?
Well, yeah. People are into drugs now.
Okay. Sure, they haven't been in the past 60 years.
Nope, no interest. Thank you for the call, Ray. We appreciate it.
By the way, we have lined somebody up, Ralph, that we're going to be talking to tomorrow, who worked on Whoops, which is one of the other shows that was on your bottom 25 of all time sitcom list. Whoops.
I found out since that it was based on a British sitcom called Whoops Apocalypse with the same premise that John Cleese was actually in from the Monty Python group.
Really?
Well, that one was probably good,
It was probably funny somehow. Yeah.
Whoops Apocalypse is funny.
Whoops Apocalypse.
All right, let's go to Jesse in Monrovia. Good morning, Jesse.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Went to Vegas this weekend, went to a strip club, saw Super Fat, Super Drunk, Mike Tyson.
Wow. Yeah.
Really?
I don't know what Mike is going to do with the last 50 years of his life because he really doesn't have any skills. He's done.
Remember we were in Vegas? We were in Vegas and he was in a strip club and one of us pushed our little friend Bald Brad right into him. And we were all just like waiting for a second because we don't know if he's crazy or not crazy at that moment. He's crazy, but
he might have been medicated.
What, was he doing anything when you saw him, Jesse?
You know what? We went to go try to say hi to him and his son was there and smacked us all away. And none of the strippers wanted to go dance with him because they said he was broke.
Oh no!
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Plus, I like to bite. I like to bite them when they dance for me.
He's broke. Can't even get a lap dance. That's sad.
Whoa! Maybe he won't be broke. Look at line 8.
I will go to it as soon as they put it on hold. There we go. All right. Hello. Who's this?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, what's going on?
Hey, buddy, I've got a friend whose mom works for a production company. Says that Mike Tyson's going to be fighting Holyfield in Dubai.
No kidding.
A rematch with Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson.
In Dubai.
Yep. Because they could do it there legally, but they couldn't do it here.
Well, yeah, I guess you can't chop on ears in America anymore.
Dubai! What now?
Yeah, what now indeed? Thank you, Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo is leaving for Dubai this weekend.
Representing Dubai.
Wow. She never thought she'd have
Dubai
an opportunity.
In the house, representing.
Now, is this just those people are so rich, they got nothing but cash, and they'll never have the opportunity there to see actual good heavyweight fighting. So for nostalgia factor, let's bring over some people we've heard of and pay them a lot of money.
But Holyfield doesn't fight anymore either, does he?
No,
yeah,
neither
one of them does.
They're both retired. They're just going to be fat leaning on each other.
Slapping each other.
Not going to be a good fight.
Breathing heavy, throwing up. Going to be good times.
But it's probably going to be enough to, you know, to support him for the next year.
I wouldn't
year
get back
something.
In the ring with him if I was Holyfield.
No.
Look, dude chomped my ear off.
You don't have a lot of ear left.
Who knows what he could do to me next?
Yeah, but you know how much money they'd throw at them in Dubai? They'd probably just lace
But what
guys.
If he bites your nipple off?
True.
Then what do you do?
True.
You just put money over it?
And
you got a lot of money.
A money bandage?
That's right.
And it's not a sanctioned fight, so it's not like there's... I mean, he's retired anyway, but it's not like there's any consequence to breaking the rules in a fight now, right?
That's what I'm afraid of. He could do anything.
That's
Lisa
awesome.
Brings up a good point, because there's no way they'd pass their medical, like the mm-hmm. Nevada
no,
State
of course,
Medical
no,
Board
No, they couldn't
now,
be licensed so. Now. No.
Oh, I hope okay. that's true.
Well, Jonathan, thank you for the tip on that. That's a good place to leave it for today. And I want to thank our special guests on the Kevin and Bean Show, including director Sarush Alvi for joining us. His film is available online or through the website HeavyMetalInBaghdad.com. The movie is called Heavy Metal in Baghdad. It's very entertaining about an actual heavy metal band in Iraq, which is not a good place to try to make it in the music industry, it turns out.
You guys want to also, drive Bean crazy? Send him an email that says, what's that website for Heavy Metal in Baghdad?
Yeah, he loves that.
He finds it
also
funny.
Our friend Sal Masakella for joining us today. He is the TV host of the X Games, and it's back this year, X Games 14. Thursday, July 31st through August the 3rd at the Staples Center downtown, the new event deck at LA Live downtown, and the Home Depot Center in Carson. Tickets are going on sale in 12 minutes. 12 minutes from right now. Available through Ticketmaster. Prices vary for events. And thanks to Sal for coming on the show.
Tonight there's a little program called Last Comic Standing, and it features a little comedian known as the Armenian Comedian. So if you find that funny, you might want to watch that. We're going to talk to him tomorrow. Also, tomorrow's Movie Beat. It's Friday, so we'll tell you about all the new movies. We got Heat Watch 2008.
Oh, it's hot out there. It's hot.
Like we said, we're going to talk to somebody who worked on Whoops.
Whoops! You know what they had? They were on a farm, and they had giant mutated vegetables because of all the radiation. So they were carrying like giant carrots around and stuff because it was all mutated.
And then would they look at the camera and say, whoops.
Look how big this carrot is. Whoops.
This needs to come out on DVD.
Yeah.
It has to.
Yeah. And one of the funniest men on the planet, Lewis Black, will be in our studios tomorrow morning.
Whoops was on television, but I can't get my own show.
By the way, listeners are writing in and saying it's not a cigarette thing. It's a fire hazard thing that is what their problem is. It's not even the litter so much. It's just that it's a burning object, and they've had problems in the past with fires being started that way, and that's why such a hefty fine.
Like Southern California has a fire problem of any kind.
That's a good point.
Well, you know the streets of Glendale, like a tinderbox. Man, they go right up. Once that ash hits the asphalt, whoosh.
But imagine.
Whoops. Apocalypse.
A lot of flammable cologne, though.
That's true.
Yeah, how many cell phone they can write.
Think of the cell phone fires in Glendale.
All right. Cat Corbett's coming up next. How about 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the latest from The Offspring called You're Gonna Go Far, Kid. Also, Rise Against, Sublime, Raconteurs, and more. All straight ahead right after.